much about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Let's run it again.
All right, let's do it. From the top.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What about the butt?
Butt sex is wild and it don't cause no child.
Never have I heard such gratuitous use of the word butt.
What is the CBS policy? Is that word bleeped or not?
You can say virtually anything.
Okay.
It's not good for New York. It's not good for America. And it's not good for the entire world. And so CBS, shame on you. Shame on you, CBS.
You see, Ralph was a homosexual, a person who demands an intimate relationship with members of their own sex.
Whoa! So this is Radio Land, huh? The infinite eternal, the waves through the ether fuzz roll on forever. Roar!
Attention, everyone. This is an emergency broadcast. The unpleasant noise you are about to hear coming from your radio is not a mistake.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
I don't know, that goes against my
just
brain.
Just like the other one.
You go, sister.
This one seems to be about to quit.
That's easy for you to say.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
You go, sister.
Roll.
You guys should be hearing what I'm saying.
I never thought I would see the day that a black person would be elected president.
Your resentment is delicious.
We've hit a new low point.
Well, our next stop's the nut.
Now. Well, I have a phoner in a couple of minutes. It's an interview on the telephone with major media outlet. I'll probably do it on my iPhone. Enjoy.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:33, and it is Friday, the 29th of May. I see them.
I love fake boobs. Oftentimes, you find them on strippers.
I know it's impossible to guess, but don't you guys think that Kat Corbett wants to have sex with me, and that's why she's coming to my house on Monday?
That never crossed my mind, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. Not,
like,
not
why
one
else
single
would
time.
She come? Why would she come visit if she wasn't demanding sex?
She's super cool and right? Nice and friendly, and
And you live in a cool town.
And she's going to be there anyway.
Uh huh.
And she loves music, and you love music. I'm guessing having sex with you is a millionth on the list.
Kat Corbett does the show after ours. And she's never visited in the 10 years that I've lived in Seattle. She's never visited before. But all of a sudden, she's got this itch, I think. And I'm the only one who could scratch it. I mean, that's my read on the situation.
Yeah. You know, I asked her about that yesterday, and she laughed.
You did.
And laughed and laughed.
Because she got found out?
And laughed.
Yeah, we actually had to pick her up off the floor.
Yeah. Bean does the show from Washington, the state of Washington,
mm-hmm.
and doesn't have visitors very often. But when Kat says she's going to be up there, he's like, yeah, all right, come on over.
Well, what I'm saying is you don't go to the home of the Whopper unless you're hungry. That's what I'm saying. Right?
Oh, I almost choked.
Psycho Mike, that's you're with me said. On this, right? Clearly, that's what she's got planned, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael.
She's begging for it.
That's what I'm saying. You don't come to my house unless you expect. I mean, chloroform rag is a possibility if it goes poorly. But I'm saying I expect it to be voluntary.
Wow. So now we know why Dave goes over, I guess.
Yes, that's why.
I am surprised, but okay.
We've long thought that was the case, and apparently it is.
Thanks for confirming.
I'm just saying, I'm really looking forward to Monday. That's
I'm just
all.
Saying. Let's take some phone calls and get rid of that
cleanse
nasty thought from our
How
heads.
How dare you?
1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do is next weekend's Ink and Iron Festival on board the legendary Queen Mary. How about seeing Eagles of Death Metal while you're there? Also, Woo! Street Dogs, the Bronx, the Sonics will be there. InkandIron.com is the website. That's the prize for getting on the air at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Steve? He's on line one calling about that very same festival.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
What it do?
It's May.
What's going on?
I'm talking about that Ink and Iron. Maybe we should get Miss Double December out there for that pinup girl contest.
That's a good call.
Oh, yeah.
You guys remember Miss Double December? She was nice.
Yeah, no kidding. Yes. Si, senor.
I don't know that Miss Double December talks to us anymore.
Of course she does. What are you talking about?
Because of all that time we spent with her at Weenie Roast?
No, she was there. She was there. She's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Is she? Okay. I never
like
saw
you,
her.
Well, but she likes us.
No girl wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
Historically, in every other year past that I can remember, we have Miss Double December come by the broadcast when we're at Weenie Rose.
Right.
And sit in with us, say hello, whatnot.
Right.
But not a peep, never heard her name, never saw her, didn't even know she was there. So she does still live.
She lives. She's having fun. Mm-hmm. She goes to events. She just is doing the right thing by not talking to you.
I just figured she'd gotten knocked up or moved away or both or something. That's
that was
all.
A different one.
Okay.
That's a good call, Steve. Thank you. Have to work on that. Let's go to Shelly. Hi, Shelly.
Hey, what's going on?
What it do?
What it do?
You know, it's funny. We say what it do, nephew, because that's how Snoop Dogg says hi to people. But yeah. I'm more fascinated by the fact that we and our listeners can't ever, ever, ever pull it off. We always sound awkward saying it, and that makes me laugh.
I think 6 more months and we'll have it down.
Okay.
This is what? It's only been 5 years
exactly.
So far?
Exactly.
What's going on, Shelly?
Well, I had a theory about the bad tattoos in the NBA.
Which there are a lot of, yes?
Yeah. Well, the thing is any tattoo artist that's worth getting work done by, you have to wait, like, at least 6 months.
Right.
Formally for an appointment.
They're backed up, right?
So I think that they just go to some random shop on, like, Sunset Boulevard where they could go just that day. Same thing with the celebrities. They're not willing to wait.
They seem to get bad ones, too.
I think you're right for some of the guys, but let's face it. There are a lot of very talented tattoo artists that don't have a 6-month wait. I mean, it is possible to get a good tattoo outside of a name brand guy. But even LeBron last night, even his tattoos are awful.
Yeah, I think they just maybe don't know better.
I think it's worse than that. I think they have a friend come over. You know, a dude that goes, hey, I can do that. I'll bring some stuff over.
Garage.
Yeah, in the garage, right.
They do it with rubbing alcohol and a steak knife.
Yeah, I agree. It is an epidemic in the NBA. A lot of tattoos, which I don't have any problem with, but they're horrible.
Maybe they're like you guys, and they're racing to the bottom. Like, that's their thing.
That's their goal.
Who can have the worst tattoo?
Look at my tattoo. Look how bad this is.
It was so weird last night at the game to see Alex Rodriguez there. Ben Roethlisberger was there. I mean, it was like an all-star sports event. It was hilarious.
It was. And for those of you that missed it, Cleveland was up, I don't know, 35-10 or something at the beginning of the game.
Really?
Yeah. And Orlando came back. They didn't end up.
I think they had a 22-point lead at one point, and they lost it all.
Oh, my God.
They didn't end up winning. Orlando didn't end up winning, but they came all the way back from that. It was unbelievable.
It's a very exciting playoff so far. Let's try Matt on line 4, calling about a new show I've heard about, haven't had a chance to see yet. Hey, Matt, you're on the air, Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Well, they finally made a show about Beans people.
Yes, please. What's it called?
Oh, called Obsessed on A&E.
Obsessed on A&E.
Quite possibly the greatest show ever.
What's it about?
It's about
people that have OCDs. You know, sorry to say, but I mean, it's the funniest thing ever.
I love OCD because these are the people that, you know, have to lock the front door 3 times before they go to bed, or they have to wash their hands 5 times in a row before they can go do something else. That's fascinating
to
me.
Count steps.
Count steps, yeah.
You guys got to watch it.
When is it on? It's on A&E when?
I believe it's after Intervention. I don't know, that's when the first one was, but if you could TiVo it, whatever you got to do.
Yeah. All right. I'll do that.
What was your favorite guy or favorite OCD that you saw on this week's show?
I don't know. I felt kind of sorry for the guy. He had some really bad problems, but I mean, the girl that was on there, long story short, her father had died in a car accident. She actually put his clothes on from the accident scene because she couldn't get over the fact. It's a bad deal. Some of it's pretty sad, but most of it's pretty funny.
That sounds like a party.
Well, now I really want to see it.
Love it. Love it.
All right. Thank you for the tip. That's a great tip. And finally, let's go to Josh. Hi, Josh.
Hey, what'd it do?
What'd it do?
Hey, I'd like to call to give a big up to Trent Reznor. You guys talked about it last week. My really good buddy, I've known him for over 10 years, Eric De La Cruz, and he needs a heart transplant.
Oh, that's your friend. That's your buddy.
Yes. I used to DJ with him in Las Vegas. I've known him for a long time. He's a great and talented guy. But anyways, I checked on the website, and I guess Trent's already raised over $800,000 for his cause.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and this is his sister, I guess, contacted Trent because she was the big Nine Inch Nails fan, right?
Yeah. Yeah, his sister's a newscaster for CNN.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
We would be happy to talk to Eric and help further promote the cause if you think he would talk to us.
Yeah, well, I'll try to get a hold of him and let you know.
That'd be pretty cool. How much is it going to end up costing, do you know?
You know, I'm not sure. I have no idea. I know it's...
probably in the ballpark of $1 trillion. Probably. Yeah, but that's a very thing, a cool thing that Trent's doing because, you know, he probably gets a lot of people that say, can you help?
All the time, mm-hmm. I'm sure.
And he's helping in a major way, $800,000.
Yeah.
I didn't even know you had to pay for your own heart transplant if you got one, by the way.
You don't
that's
have
how
insurance.
Dumb I am.
Well, he couldn't get his heart transplant. They couldn't even put him on the list in Las Vegas. He was on Medicare. He wasn't looking good for him at all. So
well, I'll tell you what.
We'd love to
talk to him, Josh, but even if we don't, I'll make sure the King of Mexico puts up a link to the donate page anyway, so at least just people who go to the website can donate, all right?
That'd be awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh.
All right. Hey, let us know. Thanks for calling.
How about that? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is.
Don't see that every day. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show. We have Adam Carolla in the studio talking about This Week in Rage.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to get upset by things.
Yeah.
He does. There's a guy who's going to have blood pressure trouble when he gets older.
Yeah, no question about that. We're going to talk to the director of a new movie called Rock, Paper, Scissors, A Geek Tragedy.
Yes.
And it's fantastic. I haven't seen the whole thing, but I watched part of it online.
Yeah.
These people that play Rock, Paper, Scissors, this is their world.
They are completely serious.
It's an awesome game.
Of course it's an awesome game, but this is their world.
Yeah.
How does rock, paper, scissors become your world? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I can only see that if you're really, really good at it.
Okay.
I mean, I can see really being into it if you're great at it. You know what I mean? Like if there's a potential there to make a living or make a lot of money.
You can't make a living at rock, paper, scissors,
I doubt
can
it.
You?
I mean, I know that I think there's some kind of league, and of course there's the championship that they do in Vegas, but I don't know. I don't know that it's to that point
like
yet.
Poker.
Right, right.
We got the movie beat today because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of movies, we have Justin Long on the program today from Drag Me to Hell. Because that woman wouldn't refinance that woman's home.
It sounds like a comedy.
Drag Me to Hell.
But it's not.
It does not look like a comedy on the trailers.
Yeah.
But wait, it's definitely not a comedy. It's supposed to be very scary. But, I mean, it doesn't really matter what the pretense is for being haunted or being stalked in a horror movie. I mean, you just accept that she's a bad person and that she can wreak havoc. I mean, that's...
I guess.
I mean, that's like... I mean, people move into a house and it's haunted. That's dumb, too. But it's just a setup for the cool things that happen thereafter.
Right.
Well, all of the reviews are great for this movie. And I love scary movies, so I'm excited about it.
You're in.
And we'll talk to Justin Long today, and there's a cat that has grown wings. So details on that coming up. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next. Got to tell you, Kanye West not sounding as good as he did once. Really kind of bizarre.
Yeah, you can start to see the age in the party. It's starting to take an effect on his voice. You're right.
It's K-Rock, and it is 5:53.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Finally Friday. Ralph is here with our first look at the show biz beat. By the way, Ralph, I don't know about you, but I'm digging on this 4-day work week. It feels pretty good.
Yeah, I'm digging on it too, Daddy-O.
I'm just saying.
Scooby bebop. Yeah, I'm hip.
Something we ought to work toward.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can translate. This seems like a cool thing.
Daddy-O.
I'm all right with taking a
day off.
It's
not Squaresville. Yeah.
Bean was born at 70 years old and has been 70 since.
Yeah.
I don't think it's too strange for a woman to be sent to hell because you didn't give another woman a loan extension. It's perfectly reasonable.
I'm saying it's a horror movie, and it doesn't really matter what the premise is. Lots of them are lame.
But bad paperwork is hardly an ominous setup for a horror movie, that's all I'm saying.
You just crossed the wrong person. That's the point.
Right.
You never know who's the devil.
Maybe she could have done something a little more ominous than fail to give her an extension on her home loan. Okay. Seems a little mundane to set up going to hell for.
Maybe she could have stolen the woman's money or something, you know, in her account or something that's important.
In a world where Jennifer forgot to replace the sparklets bottle on the top of the cooler at work, she got dragged to hell. I'm just saying, maybe something a little more serious.
The impression that I got from the ads
was that she loses her home, though. Like, she has to move out because she can't get an extension on her loan. And that's the serious thing that pits her against the woman.
I see.
So she's being made homeless.
It doesn't really matter because it sounds like all of the reviews are that it's a great scary movie, which I'm in for. It just seemed a little slight.
Sure.
But maybe you can ignore it and just move on. All right, Ralph's here with Showbiz Beat.
In a world where Gwendolyn gave a woman the wrong change at a diner. I gave you a 20. No, you didn't, ma'am. She got dragged to hell.
That's the sequel.
Could use a little gravitas, as they say. Dave Gahan of Depeche Mode apparently has a little bit more than a bad case of gastroenteritis.
They've been canceling a lot of shows.
Yeah. Official website says doctors had to remove a malignant tumor from his bladder this week.
Wow.
Seems bad.
Yeah, he got very sick just before a May 12th gig in Greece. Now he's got to rest up until June 8th when Depeche Mode says they will resume their world tour in Leipzig, Germany. We do not like the Depeche Mode here, but we will let them play. But we will be watching you. In a world where you play in Leipzig, Germany, get dragged to hell. Congratulations to Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance. He and his wife, Lindsay, welcomed their first child into the world. The baby girl's name, Bandit Lee.
Bandit Lee. Is that what you name a raccoon?
That's awesome.
A raccoon?
Bandit.
Yeah, they're always Bandit.
Bandit Lee Way.
Right. Oh,
I wonder if Bandit will take on Crime Fighter. I wonder if
Crime Fighter Moxie.
Yeah. Moxie Crime Fighter will have to take on Bandit in a steel cage match. Battle of the Celebrity Children.
Wow. I hope they grow up and get married. That'd be cool.
This is the best. Celebrities are the best because they really think by giving their kids these kind of names that they're going to stand out and be special.
Aren't Moxie and Bandit both ladies? Aren't they both girls?
I believe so.
Moxie is.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Bandit's a girl too. Well.
Yeah.
By the time they're old enough to marry, they'll be able to get married in California.
Bean is wishing for a softer, kinder world. He's hoping someday they will be able to get married. And I agree. Chase Crawford!
Yeah.
Private Eye!
He's not a private eye, Ralph.
What?
With a name
like Chase Crawford, how can he not be a private eye?
It's an actor.
In a world where Chase Crawford is a private eye. He has got a new girlfriend, according to the New York Post. He is currently dating 19-year-old Sports Illustrated swimsuit model... Esty Ginsburg.
Oh. S-M-S-G.
That kind of ruins it, doesn't it? The Esty Ginsburg part.
The name is not
you
hot.
You got the lead
it's
up of
a
19-year-old swimsuit model from Sports Illustrated, Esty Ginsburg.
Yeah.
So, I was at the deli by the pickles. You know there where they had the crunchy pickles? And Esty Ginsburg comes up, and she says that her son has dropped out of medical school.
But look at that picture, Rob.
I know. Look.
That's Esty.
But I'm just saying, we should have some sort of committee that names our supermodels.
Yeah, I agree.
Because Esty Ginsburg doesn't work for me. That's not sexy.
Israel's been coming on really strong in the
last, by the way, let me tell you, my little friend, has always been strong when it comes to the beauteous women. It's just lately they're starting to export them. But, always has. The Israeli women are just stunning. And now they're able for you to take home. And they're there for your home consumption, which I think is lovely.
That is nice.
Good on you, Israel. And here's my remake news. 20th Century Fox has announced they're doing a remake of Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
No!
The 1985 movie that was based on a Cyndi Lauper song.
I don't remember that movie.
Oh, it starred Helen Hunt and Sarah Jessica Parker. Lisa, I'm sorry. I'm surprised you missed it.
Yep.
With SJP in there.
Crap.
It's horrible.
Then maybe that's why.
Well, there was a phase in the 80s where any number one song, any top hit song, would immediately be cranked out into a crappy exploitation film. And this was one of them, mm-hmm. and it was bad.
Sounds bad.
Yeah.
And I have no idea why they want to remake it. Is it because everyone is listening again to Cyndi Lauper saying Girls Just Want to Have Fun? Is the smash hit single just taken off again?
I don't think so.
I hadn't noticed.
The demand is out there. Odd, that.
That is weird.
And tonight, your last chance to watch Jay Leno host The Tonight Show. Until next week, when he's on at 10 p.m. every day, whenever he's coming back.
What's that
back.
Called? Is it just the Jay Leno Show?
Jay Leno Show, yeah. Okay. I think he comes back in the fall. He'll be doing his 10 p.m. show 5 nights a week. But he is leaving Tonight Show tonight. Conan O'Brien takes over on Monday. And Jay is getting some well-deserved rest. He will be opening at the Borgata in Atlantic City tomorrow night.
What?
So in case you want to check him out, you can see
he
him
does
there.
Not take a day off, does he?
He's not a fan of not working.
Ralph, what is your what's your prediction on how this experiment will play out? How will Jay's ratings be at 10, and how will that affect Conan's ratings at 11:30?
I think Conan will not have the benefit of the Jay Leno viewers. Usually when the Tonight Show changes hands, the new host is handed over the viewership of the previous host.
That's true.
People who watched Johnny watched Jay when he took over 17 years ago, and they were hoping that people who watched Jay would watch Conan. But now, if the Jay fans can watch Jay at 10 o'clock, and face it, they're probably older anyway, if they can turn off their sets at 11 and go to bed, will they stick around to watch Conan O'Brien?
It's a good question.
Yeah. I think Conan's getting horked on this deal, quite frankly.
I do, too. I agree. And I also feel like if you're in the mood for a late-night show with comedy and guests, you've already seen it at that point. You're not necessarily in the mood for another one.
Right. You don't want 3 hours of comedy and guests and music. Yeah.
Conan is way better than Jay.
I absolutely agree, but I'm saying I think NBC is screwing Conan by burning out half of his audience at least at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
I think Conan will get his core audience, and they'll be happier to be able to go to bed earlier, and he will get people in college and a younger skewing audience, which is good for him, but I'm just saying I hope that his numbers don't dip because of it.
I wonder if anything's left for Jimmy Fallon, and don't even talk about Carson Daly.
Yeah.
That's a long night.
And I think it screws the TV viewing audience because NBC now, they're losing out 5 hours a week of what could be...
Yeah, they're canceling a lot of shows because they don't have
well-written dramas and comedies and stuff like that. I mean,
well, it's economics. I mean, it's a lot cheaper to make The Tonight Show than it is to make new episodes of Law & Order.
I know.
In a world where TV is run by economics, you get dragged to hell.
Today's celebrity birthday is Danny Elfman. You know him from Oingo Boingo, of course, and has become a very successful film and television composer. 56 years old today. LaToya Jackson is 53.
Yeah.
Annette Bening, very talented actress and wife of Warren Beatty, is 51 years
Bell?
Old.
Bell? No today. Bell? I say Bell.
In her day, she was certainly a Bell-worthy young lady.
Let's not push it.
I'm on the fence with Annette Bening.
She is still attractive.
Nobel Peace Prize.
You'd hit it, though, wouldn't you, Mike?
Oh, yeah, but that doesn't mean Bell.
Mike humped a couch once.
Yeah, that's true.
Hardly some sort of criteria for him.
All right.
His line is well below the Bell.
Sad birthday for Annette Bening, because I believe last year she was still getting a Bell. Yeah. This year she's just a little bit too old.
She's getting retired.
Yep.
What happens?
Melissa Etheridge is 48 years old today. Now there's Belle. There's a Belle-worthy woman right there. Noel Gallagher of Oasis is 42. Melanie Brown of Spice Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her body's bulletproof.
Belle.
She's insane. She's 34 years old today. And your Denver Nugget forward, Carmelo Anthony.
Who's your? What do you say your?
I'm just talking to all our Denver listeners.
A few.
Our Denver affiliate.
We don't have a Denver affiliate.
Oh, then screw him.
Yeah.
He's 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and I guess your point, Kevin, if I'm to understand you correctly, is go ahead and watch the NBA Finals for entertainment's sake, but it's already been decided who's going to win.
Yeah, it's done. It's done. It's over.
NBA conspiracy. They've got the whole thing mapped out from before the playoffs even began of which teams are going to advance and when and how many games. And it's all a money grab, right?
I have no doubt in the Cavs pulling out this Eastern Conference final. By the way, the Cavaliers were down 3-1. Now it's 3-2. Highly unlikely that they can do it, but they could. But this guy writing says, pulling out of the Eastern Conference Final, not only because I think LeBron James can do it, but also because I think the NBA has already decided that they will.
Oh, come on.
And
really?
So it begins.
Well, you hear this every year, and mostly it's from people who are upset with a couple of calls during the game that went against their team. That's usually how something like this starts, and then the chatter is, well, it's the refs. The game is fixed because they want the other guys to win. No one ever complains about the refs when it's for their team, by the way, which seems to happen about as often.
Yeah, it does. And the refs have been particularly bad, I think, in this series. But I think kind of for both sides. I mean, it's equally bad, I think. But this person goes on to say, not only are they, you know, do they want the matchup of Kobe and LeBron, of course, because
which everybody wants.
Well, sure.
Right. It would make the NBA a lot more money. That's why they've already decided that's what they're going to do. The other thing is that you can make a lot more money as the NBA if you have all of the series go seven games instead of having a sweep.
Of course. Yeah, sure.
So now the Lakers and the Nuggets game, their series is going to go seven, which means that according to this person, you know, the NBA has decided the Lakers won't win tonight. That's their decision, and that's what's going to happen in Denver.
And so
then Sunday's game seven.
If they do win tonight, does this person take back this?
No.
Or
I'm guessing not.
What a way to live your life.
But the Cleveland Cavaliers, they were down 3-1, now it's 3-2. They're going to win as well because the NBA says it. But they can make more money by going seven games. So we need to talk to you if you are one of these people. Because I know that there are people out there who think this. And for good reason. I mean,
there have certainly been hijinks in sports.
The thinking is sound. They do make a lot more money in a seven-game series than a four-game sweep, of course.
Yeah, give us a call if you're an NBA conspiracist or you disagree and have reasons why. We want to hear from you, too, at 1-800-520-1067. But hear my whole thing. Just like with Man Didn't Land on the Moon, just like any other conspiracy that is talked about that involves hundreds of people, doesn't it seem like that gets out? Is it really possible to buy off that many refs in that many games and not have somebody spill the beans somewhere along the line?
No, absolutely not.
But here's the problem. People who are prone to thinking this way got thrown a huge bone by that referee that was...
Yes, that one ref who was guilty, who actually was shaving points or whatever he was doing.
He was making it so that, you know, bettors could win money. And that one guy, now everybody goes, wow, well... You know, maybe there's a guy now we don't know about. He did that for years before
he
did.
Okay, but that was one guy not doing it for an organization like the NBA, which would have to have more than one guy, by the way,
doing it. An organization like the mob, though, is what could be happening.
No, Lisa's right. He was doing it to benefit the bettors. He wasn't part of a big conspiracy to determine who was going to go to the championship. All right, let me ask this question. And again, this is being talked about this year because of the way these playoffs have been unfolding and because of, you know, a few things that have happened that people said, wow, that's a really bad call. How did that happen? But it happens every single year. And if the NBA were really controlling who wins, who goes and who wins, would the San Antonio Spurs have won so many titles? What's in it for the NBA to have a tiny little town like San Antonio get there and win?
Well, that's an interesting question.
The San Antonio Spurs and the Detroit Pistons teams from the last couple of years are equally as boring and defensive, you know, based teams.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, I don't know, but let's talk to John because John... Hey, John.
Hi, John.
What's going on, guys? Listen, there are entire websites dedicated to this, and I am not a conspiracy theorist at all, but I have long thought the NBA is completely 100% fixed. And if you look back at series, I mean,
let me just back up just one second. Let me just back up. If you think that the NBA fixes games and has for a long time and seasons, then you are a conspiracy theorist. You just said you weren't.
Maybe in this regard, I'm a closet conspiracy theorist. Then, if you look back at the series you were just talking about, where the Pistons beat the Lakers, there was much more money involved in the Lakers losing and having Karl Malone, you know, betray the Jazz, come to the Lakers, and have it not work out, and to feud that Kobe Shaq feud, than to have the Pistons win. There was so much more money involved in fueling the Kobe Shaq fire there. And if you look back at games, like even far back as 1999, when the Lakers came back against the Trailblazers.
Oh, one of the best wins ever.
They were down by like 20 points.
Yes, they were.
3 minutes left. I mean, that collapse by the Trailblazers was like unheard of in the NBA. You've never seen a team with like so many future Hall of Famers collapse like that. It's completely rigged from the top down. There will 100% be a Kobe Bryant, LeBron James finals this year. It's completely determined months and months ago. You'll see the Cavs.
Okay. Are you suggesting that the players are in on it then? Because if a team collapses, that's not reffing.
I think the players are in on it. I really do.
The players too.
Absolutely impossible.
You think all of the players on Portland's team were...
I think they're all in on it. I think they all just want their money. That's all that matters. There's no heart in the NBA. So.
But here's the thing. Let me ask you this, John, because I totally understand what you're saying. And look, anything is possible. But again, we're talking about hundreds of, now thousands of people involved. I mean, the other night, last game, Lakers Denver played. Denver missed, what, 11 in a row? 11 shots in a row or something like that, right? I mean, when you see something like that happen, do you think, well, there's no way those guys miss 11 shots in a row unless they're on the take?
If your job is to sit around and throw a basket through a hoop, and you practice that 8 hours a day, all day long. All I'm telling you is you don't collapse. You're not LeBron James, who's a natural phenom, and turn the ball over eight times in 11 minutes or whatever he did. You just don't do that.
All right, so let me clarify. You think that the NBA is fixing the entire season and that all of the players are involved?
Allegedly.
Right, but that's what you... Do you think...
You're alleging.
Do you think, like, every team in the NBA is involved? You know, Dallas, all the teams that along the way didn't make it through the playoffs?
I think it's as high up, allegedly, of course, as David Stern, and I think that they work with team management to basically increase profit revenue for every single team. So for the Lakers,
can I tell you what is becoming clear to me now is the Clippers all have $100 million in an offshore account, every single one of them, because they throw every game.
Yeah, they're all millionaires in the Cayman Islands.
Yeah. what are the chances we'd lose again? Let's go out and do it, guys.
Wow. John, yeah. You're the best person I've ever talked to. I love you so much, and I'm glad you called today.
Thank you so much,
Thank
man.
You, John. All right.
All right. Bye. We got to take a break. Obviously, there are a lot of people who don't think it goes as far as John does to include every player on every team. But let's talk about the refereeing, and let's talk about whether it's being directed, whether it's whether David Stern, the commissioner of the NBA, is pulling the strings on who advances and who wins. We want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number from wherever you are. We'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dear Zany Morning Crew, Ding Ding Whistle Cowbell, writes Ryan, I don't think everybody is in on everything, but there are definitely games and events where people take falls on purpose. It's naive to think that all games or events are honest or all are fixed. It's a little of both. And we're talking about the NBA playoffs going on right now. There are people, especially in the blogosphere, who are convinced that Stern is just basically pulling the strings, deciding who he wants to advance, who he wants to win, just so the NBA can make more money.
Let's go to Henry. Hi, Henry.
Hey, good morning.
Games fixed?
Definitely. Like I was telling your call screener, I actually have a couple friends that play in the NBA, one of which has already played the Lakers this year in the playoffs. And everything from, these guys are heavy gamblers, everything from, you know, $20,000 cash poker games to, you know, fantasy football. And they run it through friends, family, you know, so their names aren't involved, but, you know, local fantasy teams that are $10,000 to join. But you got to keep in mind, they don't have to win the game to win in gambling, as long as they don't lose by too much. You know,
so you're saying individual NBA players gamble and try to fix it so that they can win money, but it's not run by the NBA.
Well, that's a whole different thing. The NBA refereeing scandal, that could have went a lot deeper, and, you know, it went away pretty fast.
Okay, but let me ask you this about your friends that are playing. Do they ever make a bet that their team will lose by, you know, 10 points or something like that, and then have to play at a level to help make that happen?
Not to lose. It's barely will you see a guy gamble to lose. But, you know, they cover the spread. He's the line, moving 7 points one way, and still coming to make a killing. I've lost money this year off Derek Fisher not taking a last-second layup on a wide-open fast break, 10 seconds left, you know, sitting on a point below the over-under line, and he'll just pull up, nobody chasing him, nobody contending the shot, nothing, and he'll just pull up
and dribble off the clock.
Isn't it possible that he's just trying to run out the clock?
Not when other players are screaming, hold up, hold up.
I didn't know other players were screaming, hold up, hold up.
Yeah, I heard Derek Fisher was behind that 911 thing, too, by the way. 911 was Derek Fisher, for starters. I heard that. Second of all, let me ask you this. Don't you think any player on an NBA team, as close as those guys play together every single night, that your teammates would notice if you were doing anything other than the very best you could all the time? Don't you think you wouldn't be able to get away with that?
No, because there's really the truth of it is most of the time the stars don't practice. Like when Kobe got sick game one, when LeBron won the MVP, he saw him sit there and pick his nails the whole game because he had a sore throat. He doesn't practice anyway.
Who doesn't practice?
Kobe.
Well, you don't know anything about Kobe. You know nothing about him. His work is legendary. He practices more than anyone.
Who tells you that? The media.
Oh.
I'm telling you as a person that knows and has actually been to practices with pro players to see guys like Tracy McGrady sit on the sidelines and just walk through practice.
Yeah, well.
Kobe show up and walk through practice. They practice a lot more during playoff stretches, but during the season, you will never see the big guys practice. The big names, just they show up, they walk through, they get the plan the coach has for the game, and then, you know, they just kind of walk.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you see that sometimes, but you also see a season that seems like it's a year long, and it's June now, and you got to save something for the court. I mean, at some point, you do need to. You need to back off a little bit.
Henry, I'm glad you called, but you're dumb. Just saying.
I'm glad you called. I don't think you're dumb, but I appreciate your insight from your NBA friends.
Okay,
that's the Kevin School of Arguing right there, by the way. Plus, his facts seemed hinky. Not only was he potentially dumb, but it didn't sound like he had any idea what he was talking about.
Now, here's why a lot of people think this. Let's talk to Donovan. Hi, Donovan.
Hey. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
I'm a big Laker fan, huge Laker fan, always have been. And the conspiracy theory I have, which the other two callers, I disagree with the players being in on it, but my conspiracy theory is more that the refs are in on it. The commissioner, David Stern, is in on it. And if you notice, the team who's at home usually gets the calls.
Yeah, that is happening, it seems like, at a greater rate than normal this year. Yeah. It really does seem like they're bending a lot further that direction, but it's always sort of that way.
It is. It always has been, and the years past, you know, I've always knew that. I've always noticed that. But, I mean, for instance, you take the Houston and the Lakers series. I mean, the Lakers beat them 4-0 during the regular season. The playoffs come. They're without Yao Ming. They're without Tracy McGrady.
Right.
And they go to 7 games. I mean, that right there is like, come on. And then they blow us out by 20 points.
Yeah, and, that was a weird series. You're right about that.
And I was at game 5, the last game, and I could see that the calls were going for the Lakers. And just like the game before in game 4, if you notice, the Lakers would try and come back and make a run. And every time there was a lot of fouls. Now, granted, some of the calls were legit.
All right, Donovan, hang on, though, because the reason the Lakers got beat by Houston is because the Lakers played worse than Houston. They were playing terrible. They weren't rebounding. They weren't doing defense. They would have had to be in on that, or it's not fixed. One or the other.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't all the refs. They played horribly.
Well, I mean, I think Kobe is one of the hardest workers in the NBA, and I don't think he throws a game. I don't think the players are going to throw a game and take it to 7 games.
But I'm saying the reason the Lakers lost against Houston is because they played horribly. They were terrible.
Yeah, they did. Their shots weren't falling down.
Right.
And Houston was playing very well. But then again, if you look at some of the fouls, even take, for instance, this Denver series where Kobe got tripped. I expected him to get suspended. He didn't get a suspension. But you take the Derek Fisher foul when he charges into somebody, and, you know, I knew that was a suspension, and he got suspended for that. So, I mean, they were upgraded to flagrant ones against Dante Jones in the Denver series.
Right. They actually go back and change it, which is kind of strange. Because the ref didn't even call anything that night.
All right. Well, listen, we're out of time, Donovan. I'm glad you called. What's your guess as to who Stern would like to see win if it ends up being Cleveland versus L.A.?
The referee who cheated a couple years ago.
Yeah, there was a guy that got caught fixing games.
So, I mean, right there, that's part of the conspiracy theory that the refs could be in on it as
I
well.
Hear
you. Yeah. There's no question that it does happen. It's a question of how widespread it is. I mean, I'd like to think that guy was just a bad apple and there aren't too many more like him.
I would too. I hope you guys are right on that one.
All right. Does the NBA want the Lakers to win the final championship, or Cleveland, or the other two teams, Denver or Orlando?
I think they want the Lakers to win. Okay. The Lakers are definitely going to make it to the finals.
Okay.
And
all right.
I hope they win.
I'm
I
not
hope
asking.
They want them to win.
All right.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Donovan. All right. Finally, we'll move on to a real sport. Let's quit talking about this pussy basketball and talk rock, paper, scissors with the director of a new documentary about that sport. Yes, I said sport. Coming up after this on the Kevin DeBede Show.
Pretty excited about this rock, paper, scissors movie, Kevin. I don't know about you, but I'm in.
I am in. Look, Lisa pointed out something earlier in the week. If you're in the hands of a skilled filmmaker, you can make almost anything interesting. Who thought that the Spelling Bee movie Spellbound would be so great?
And it was awesome. And there was also one about people into crossword puzzles that came out last year or a year and a half ago.
Didn't see that.
I loved it.
Can't vouch for that one, but the Donkey Kong one was great.
Yeah.
King of Kongs was great. I saw the movie on the world's most popular font, Helvetica, and that was a great movie,
too. Oh, shut up.
I'm just telling you that Rock, Paper, Scissors, A Geek Tragedy sounds like the movie for us, and we thought we need to find out more about this, so let's get the director of the film, the man who put 3 long years of his life into making it, Mike McEwen, joins us on the Kevin DeBede Show. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Are we right? Is the movie great?
Well, I certainly hope so. I think so.
Tell us, Rock, Paper, Scissors, obviously everybody knows the Rochambeau game, but what's your angle? What's the story that's told in A Geek Tragedy?
Well, we jumped in sort of right at the breaking point when Rock, Paper, Scissors was going from the game that we all played as kids and maybe, you know, in the bar to figure out who's gonna get the next drinks to this sort of international world championship level competition with players coming from all around the world competing for huge amounts of money and sports networks getting involved.
And they do that in Las Vegas, right?
There's one in Las Vegas and there's one in Toronto.
Okay. Because I've seen the one in Las Vegas because they put it on ESPN and I was just fascinated that they would show something that dumb.
That is part of the fascination.
Right. But it was fascinating. And what is it about this that brings out the crazies? I mean, there's the World Series of Poker. Most of the guys are just pretty normal. There's thousands of them. But when you watch this tournament, they're all wearing costumes.
Yeah.
And it's just...
What kind of costumes do they wear? Here,
listen to this bit of the trailer, and then we'll find out what kind of costumes.
This sort of started as something very, very simple. It started as a drunken evening at the cottage to the point where we're actually motivating people from around the world to gather together for something that we believe in.
The World Championship of Rock, Paper, Scissors!
It's a combination of Halloween, Mardi Gras, really a Star Trek convention with binge drinking and much better looking women.
Woodstock was a financial disaster, but it's a landmark event in history. And, you know, perhaps this event is similar.
Yeah, that's one of the guys that started it. And I think part of it that I saw was that the big corporations are trying to buy them out and they won't sell, right?
Well, it's interesting you guys brought up the Las Vegas tournament or championship. What ends up happening or what ended up happening while we were filming is that there was a competing rock, paper, scissors league that was formed down in the States that started their championship in Las Vegas. And there's actually two leagues, if sort of like Vince McMahon's
really?
Or WWE and, you know, Ted Turner jumping in trying to do his own thing. So, one of the things that sort of the story is really about these two guys in Toronto trying to figure out how to take this, you know, really simple game, this really simple idea, and make it, you know, something really big. And they ended up sort of getting caught up between, you know, what their vision for what it could be was and you know, what maybe big business and
right.
commercial...
Right, but so when big business comes and says, we'd like to buy out your tournament, and you've come up with Rock, Paper, Scissors Championship, you sell as fast as you can.
And for as much as you can.
Because it's ridiculous. These guys are like, nope. It's not can't be in the hands of a big corporation.
Well, they want to right. That's well, the love of the sport.
And what's important to them is that they keep the purity of the game.
Right, which is funny because that's it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't want people jumping in, adding extra throws like dynamite or, you know, God or Well or Spock or any of those
Hey, you don't have to tell me, man. I'm still pissed at the designated hitter. I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about. Stick to the purity of the beautiful game, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So is there any chance that the two sides will be reconciled? Will we ever unite the belt or forever will
there's
there be
no
a Canadian
belt?
Will there ever forever be a Canadian champion and a U.S. champion?
What you're talking about is you know, a dream for a lot of rock, paper, scissors players out there.
Right. It would be like the World Cup of rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, we've played a little rock, paper, scissors on this show, what radio program in good standing has it. In fact, one of our guys even beat the champion one year. Yeah. But my question to you is, as much time as you've spent around the sport, what's the secret to being good at that game? What have you learned that unites the great players?
Good question. You know, a lot of people ask me, like, can you really actually be good at the game? And the answer, the only thing I can tell you is there are guys that I've followed for a couple of years who are absolutely good at the game. And how they're actually good at the game is still a bit of a mystery, but, you know, there's all sorts of little edges that you can get in the game, believe it or not. And there are professors who study this sort of thing. We went and talked to guys, like, all over North America who study game theory. And, you know, there's no anything from, you know, intimidation. You know, these guys that are wearing their costumes, maybe they're just trying to, you know, scare you into a certain
throw. Yeah, so what are the costumes like?
Because it's at Halloween, Mardi Gras, and Star Trek convention. They
exactly.
Explain how people dress when they come there.
Well, I mean, it's really a free for all. I mean, there were guys dressed up as robots. There were guys. There was a team from the UK who showed up in matching Union Jack business suits. There were, you name it. You know, pretty much anything that would go for Halloween or Mardi Gras would go for a rock, paper, scissors.
Is it true that rock is the new paper? Is that true?
That is true.
That's what I've heard.
That word, yeah.
Right. This is director Mike McEwen on the line on the Kevin DeBeach Show. He is the director of a fascinating new documentary called Rock, Paper, Scissors, A Geek Tragedy. And we ought to tell our Southern California listeners that this is a very special weekend because you've heard about it, and now you can see it for one night only at a place called Busby's East at 5364 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles. Now, is this the first time it's played in Los Angeles, Mike?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
We had it up in San Francisco about a month ago, and now it's down in L.A.
Great. And what's the deal? You guys are you're charging $15, but that includes booze, if I understand correctly. Now, what's the deal?
It doesn't. It does not
include booze.
It doesn't exactly include booze, but we're encouraging you to drink as much booze as you want while you're watching the show.
Right.
Because there is a bar.
There's a lot of rock, paper, scissors players who believe in having a drink or two while playing, so we figure that the audience will probably enjoy that.
Now,
well.
is it coming to theaters? Do you have a distributor, or where is it at?
Right now, we're sort of negotiating with a couple of distributors. The thing about this film is that we, you know, it was really made on a very low budget, a lot of begging and borrowing, and so we're now at a position where distributors are interested, but we need to have a couple of things in place that cost a lot of money.
I got you.
So we're just raising a bit of money to get it there.
Okay, so you go see the movie, you have fun, and you also help you and your team perhaps get the movie into wider distribution.
Exactly.
That's
so that
the goal of the weekend.
So we can spread this message across, you know, North America.
Oh, it's such
the world. Yeah.
Such a great message.
Yeah.
All right, Busby's is the name of the place. 5364 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, and the screening is going to be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. $15 to get in, admission at the door only. And again, the film is called Rock, Paper, Scissors, A Geek Tragedy. Mike, thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Yeah,
we enjoyed
my
it.
Pleasure.
Thank you, man.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here doing double duty like he does on Fridays with the Movie Beat next hour. But right now, time for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I forgot to mention last hour when we were talking showbiz, I did a story about the fact that 20th Century Fox is remaking Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yeah.
The 1985 movie taken from the Cyndi Lauper hit song with Helen Hunt and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Mm-hmm.
I neglected to mention one of the stars of that show.
I thought those were the stars.
There was one more that everyone reminded me of that I completely forgot. The Blade. Richard Blade, K-Rock's own Richard Blade.
Really? One of the stars?
Played a major role in Girls Just
Want
to Have Fun.
Wow.
Yeah. It's almost as if I can hear him saying the title of the movie now. I almost have the... I feel like it's just yesterday when he was talking about that movie, he would say...
I don't have that if you're looking at me, Ralph. I don't know what you're talking
about.
You
always had it.
I don't have that.
Girls just want to have fun.
Oh, he says I like little girls.
I thought he said girls just want to have fun.
Richard Blade is a DJ that used to work on this station many, many years ago for folks who don't recognize the name.
Yeah. And don't forget, also the host of
top 10 hot smoking video rama on Channel 56 here locally.
I love little girls.
Yeah, that was it. I could have sworn it was girls just when I have fun.
Close.
I should do my research.
Maybe.
Reality television news. VH1 has announced the next lineup for their upcoming season of Celebrity Rehab.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew once again puts his nose to the grindstone, or the coke stone, depending on which celebrity you're dealing with, and tries to get the following celebrities clean. Former Alice in Chains bassist Mike Starr has joined the cast for the third season. He'll be getting clean along country music train wreck Mindy McCready.
Oh, yeah.
She's in trouble.
Don't know who she is.
She gets arrested a lot. She makes the news a lot for being arrested for drugs.
Was she also the one that made the headlines for being involved with Roger Clemens somehow?
I believe she was.
Yes, yeah. Psycho Mike. I believe that is true.
Mackenzie Phillips, former star of One Day at a Time.
She's still messing up?
Don't you remember? She fell off the wagon. They caught her at the airport with like 97 syringes taped to her body filled with heroin or something.
If anyone should understand how One Day at a Time works, it should be her.
I gotta play B, and I gotta play B off with the keyboard cat on that one.
Put that in the file too, by the way.
So hideous.
Dennis Rodman also in the cast this year.
Dennis Rodman,
yes.
Yeah, he'll work hard.
New York Post, by the way, says the worm downed half a bottle of Jägermeister last week at a Fort Lauderdale nightclub, and left the place at 2:30 in the morning. So maybe he's getting his last licks in before he goes into rehab.
Yeah.
And then Heidi Fleiss, ex-Hollywood madam Heidi Fleiss, also appearing on the show.
Well, this should be interesting.
New season premieres early next year, 2010. So
I'll consider it a date, baby.
Thank you, Richard Blade.
What?
It's good stuff. No. I'm just saying. I miss Celebrity Rehab.
That's a good show.
It's a great show. I miss it, and I'm looking forward to the new one.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of reality television, Paris Hilton is not a fan of The Hills.
Wait, isn't she dating a dude from The Hills?
Aha! Bean, Matt Reinhardt, her new boyfriend, used to be Lauren Conrad's boyfriend, but she gave him the boot at the end of last season on The Hills. And so asked whether he was still going to be involved in the show or not. Paris said she is trying to convince him not to because she's not a fan of The Hills and calls it, like, so lame and fake.
Unlike her show.
That's right. Paris Hilton's new BFF, that is freaking Shakespeare.
Wow.
So good for you for drawing a line somewhere that no one else can see, Paris.
It's going to be a party.
Around, Paris. Stop being a whore.
Cameron Diaz has a new boyfriend. Speaking of relationships, Maroon 5 frontman Adam Levine.
Oh, that dude gets around.
He gets all the premium punani. Yep.
He makes his way through people, doesn't he?
Yeah. Now he's scoring Cameron Diaz. I remember, it reminds me, it felt like just like yesterday when Kevin was dating Adam Levine from Maroon 5. I remember he was always asking us to give love to Maroon 5. You remember
that?
How
dare you?
Mm-hmm. I don't
have that one either. Let's give some love to Maroon 5. That's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
That one I had.
That's a major step down for Adam Levine, by the way.
From Kevin to Cameron Diaz?
Cameron Diaz from the, like, random chick that he gets on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I'm not a big Cameron fan. I think she's attractive, but she's not that hot.
I think she's really fun. That's what you get from her, that she's a good time.
Been out drinking with her? Hanging out?
Yeah, she's always in Hawaii surfing.
Eating peanuts
and
throwing the shells on the floor, Lisa, just going nuts.
Yep.
You and Cameron?
Me and Cameron.
I don't know where you get that from. She strikes me as a someone who needs a lot of
skin cream.
Yeah, that would be good.
I'm not sure that's where he was going, but
what's the one they advertise on the TV all the time?
Proactive.
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 That's what she needs.
She needs silicone.
Yeah, she could use some boobs.
Oh, you guys. Yeah.
She could use boobs. Come on, Lisa. Even you admit she could use boobs.
Yeah, she's sporty.
Well,
sporty.
Like a 14-year-old boy. Adam Levine sits very close to Justin Timberlake at Laker games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so I don't know if he is dating Cameron Diaz, if that would work out, if he's going to bring her. You know what I'm saying?
Trust me, by the time he gets around to going back to the Lakers, they won't be dating anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
He doesn't have a track record of long relationships, I'm just saying. Today's celebrity birthday is Danny Elfman, legendary film and television composer. Gave us the Simpsons theme, the Batman theme. Think of all the movies and TV shows
he's the best.
He's responsible
best.
For. And he was also in a little band called Oingo Boingo, too, which did pretty well for themselves.
Sure.
He is 56 years old today. Singer LaToya Jackson one of the legendary Jackson 12. How many kids they have over there. She is 53. Annette Bening turns 51. Actor Rupert Everett is 50 years old today. And Melissa Etheridge turns 48.
Make you want to go eat some tuna?
Yeah, a little bit.
What?
Noel Gallagher of Oasis is 42. Melanie Brown, who better known as Scary Spice of the legendary Spice Girls, turns 34 years old today. And Denver Nugget forward Carmelo Anthony celebrates his 25th birthday. Will he have been partying too hard tonight?
I sure hope so.
To play a decent game?
I sure hope so.
We'll have to wait and see. I'm going to buy him a new headband. That's what I got him for his birthday. A new headband.
Is it powder blue?
Why is the headband coming back?
I don't know.
Why is the headband making such a strong comeback? The sweatband that goes around the head.
I don't know.
Who gave that the okay?
I guess because there's a lot of guys wearing long hair again is why, I guess.
Not Mello.
Mello doesn't have any hair.
He's shaved to the head, to the thing.
Semi-pro.
Birdman's got the yep. cockatoo hair there. It's not falling in his eyes. He doesn't need that. And the guys who do need it, like... monstrously ugly Pau Gasol. Yes. He doesn't wear one. And the Vulacek, Valgacek, Vulacek, Vucicic. Him. He needs one. Doesn't wear one. He just has the Shemp Howard greasy cut down the parted down the middle slick hair.
He has the little gay Euro band that you can barely see.
Yeah, it's like
a shoestring. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really like tight to his face. You can't really see that he
like
has
like Mike Reno early lover boy kind of look?
Sort of, yeah. Even slighter than that.
Yeah. But I just don't understand the comeback of the sweatband.
I don't either.
Because guys have been sweating for 20 years since they wore them last, right? Now all of a sudden they decided they need them again.
Let me tell you who needs it. Lamar Odom. That guy sweats.
Oh, is he a sweater?
He sweats.
He sweats.
He does not sweat just a little either.
They were interviewing him before the game, and he was dabbing himself with a tissue while they were talking.
No, he's serious.
Did you see that? Yeah. That interview? He said, look at me, I'm sweating now. And he's like dabbing himself down with a tissue. He looked like Nixon during a debate. Really? Nixon debate? Really? I went there? That was my
call.
Reference from 1960?
Put that in the file.
That's where I went?
Yep.
Imagine that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph's got the movie beat in minutes. Plus, we'll talk to the star of one of those films, Sam Raimi's Drag Me to Hell. Justin Long is going to be joining us later on in the hour. Uh-oh. Do I sense that Ralph is getting ticked off again?
Ralph, why are you making us spin the wheel? What's the deal here? We want to talk to some animals. There's a lot of good animal stories.
I don't want to do that anymore. I told you guys.
I think that is
a played concept, and I think we should retire the voices of the talking animals in the news story.
We tell a funny animal story, then we call, and we think it's going to be somebody.
Trust me, I fully understand how this segment works.
And then the animal picks up, and we talk to the animal. We go, hey, wow, how did we get you on the phone?
Saying after a decade of those lame-ass bits, even
I think,
have grown weary of them, and I think the listeners have as
would
well.
Would you be willing to spin the wheel and just do one?
No. See, that's my point. I'm trying to. We did this last time. We spun the wheel, and we ended up doing a lame animal voice. That does not solve the situation at
all. We have the zombie fire ants.
Not interested.
We've got to talk to them.
We don't have to talk to them.
They're in the news, and we want to know what's up with them.
Well, you're not going to get that. You're going to get me doing an ant voice.
We have to talk to a chimp who is a pimp.
Don't have to do that either.
A chimp is a pimp?
That's correct. We have
Does
to talk,
he have a limp?
We have to talk to the Chinese cat that has wings.
Hey! Don't need to do that
We
either.
Have to talk to the Russian dog girl.
Here's
these
the
are
thing.
All
You're not
real stories.
Talk to any of these people, though. That's the thing.
Or the K-Rock stoned squirrel that's out in our parking lot.
It'll end up being a half-assed voice bit with me doing a silly voice. And
well, you better run to the other room and get on the phone, because Kevin just spun the wheel.
And
what
did
you land on?
We're going to talk to the Chinese cat with wings.
Oh.
Hey!
How about that story?
I am fascinated by that
story. This is supposedly true.
Well, okay. I did see the photo, and you can't fake a picture.
True.
There's a kitty in Changning, China.
Hey!
Sure. I'm probably not saying that right. Once it turned one, it started growing wings, real wings.
Do you mean like a webbing,
like a bird's
sort
wings
of between its?
Well, let's if we could.
Body and its.
Our producer Alex has set somebody up that has some information on this story, which
I'm
is
confused.
Always good.
Yeah,
I believe it's the cat's owner.
Oh, all right.
Hi, sir.
Meow.
Oh, it's the cat.
Meow.
What are the chances of that?
You How you doing, Round Eye?
Yeah. How is the fact that you have wings the story and not that you can talk?
I don't know. I guess they missed the most important part.
Okay.
Now, doctors think that it may be some sort of a mutation, maybe, or
no,
they might
think,
even be...
You think a cat growing wings might be some sort of mutation?
But they're real wings. I mean, maybe it's the new wave, you know? Maybe it's what's coming. What was that?
I'm flying around in the sky.
Oh, wow. You can fly now, too?
I'm dive-bombing dogs.
Wow.
Cats have always wanted to do it and never been able to until now, I guess.
Wow. So not only do you have wings, but you can fly. They failed to mention that as well in the story.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, what good are wings if you're not flying?
Good point.
That's right. Now, what do you got? Missile system there? What's going on, Kitty?
No, that's me soaring down on a dog.
Okay.
And then I poop on them.
I see. That's,
why use a cat box when you can just poop on a dog's head? Take that, golden retriever.
Can you believe, Kat, that we had a guy on our show who didn't want to do this bit?
I can't imagine why. Send this over to Museum of Television and Radio.
That needed it.
The Living End.
Yeah.
On the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 25 minutes after 7 o'clock.
You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Actor Justin Long joins us in a few minutes. Adam Carolla after the top of the hour. Right now, it's Friday. Rob's got the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat. Welcome to my world.
How did Justin Long not enter in a world of porn with a name like that?
That's a good question.
Porn stars would die for a name like that.
He's got one just handed to him, and he fritters it away. Fritters, I say.
We can ask him.
That all stupid career of his.
Him and his acting and his Mac commercials.
And his Drew Barrymore.
Let's take a look at some of the movies opening up this weekend in Southland Cineplexes, shall we? Everyone is very excited about Drag Me to Hell. In a world where foreclosure is a four-letter word. Apparently, Alison Lohman plays a young loan officer.
Bell!
Yeah, I think so, too. Bell. Yeah.
Bell for Lohman?
Yeah.
How about Barkley? Is he good?
Charles?
Oh, my God!
Lohman and Barkley! Legendary Los Angeles radio town. Wow. I'm just saying. She's a loan officer who has to evict an old woman who, by the way, if you ever run to an old woman in a loan office who has one white eye and one brown eye.
She has an effed up eye.
She's a brown eye?
She's a witch. If they have an effed up milky white eye,
yep.
While she's looking at it, you say,
you give them whatever they want. You give them whatever they want. Stop it. Stop it. No. No. Nope. No time for Gene.
If she's asking you for an extension on her loan, just give it to
give
her.
Give it to her.
If she has like a wart with a long hair coming out of it and a milky white eye and a brown eye, and she's wearing like a hood and has an old crooked stick that she walks with and has a bubbling cauldron behind her, like bat heads floating and stuff in it.
You're saying these are clues?
Just give her what she wants.
Give her the loan.
Don't send her away.
Don't evict her, because you know what happens next?
You get dragged to hell.
Here's a scene from the movie where a demon possesses Alison Lohman's friend, Sean, and she is pretty much tormenting poor Christine Brown, our loan officer.
Anya, what is it you desire?
I desire the soul of Christine Brown.
Lamia, surely you can be dissuaded from taking this insignificant woman. Surely she is not worthy of your greatness.
No! I come for you, Christine. You're mine!
Maybe Justin Long is doing porn. I'm not halfway through that one. It sounded a little like it.
I think when the demon said, I come for you, Christine,
right.
He's arriving at the location to grab Christine. That's what he means by that. So Sam Raimi returns to his horror roots and brings us Drag Me to Hell.
I'm in.
Well, you're going to have to drag me to this movie. Ba-dum-ba.
Hey!
Whoa, Gaby! Also opening this weekend, Up!
Woo!
Stop it.
It's a new animation from the Pixar, folks. This is a story about 78-year-old Carl Fredrickson, who sets out to fulfill his lifelong dream to see the wilds of South America. How does he do it? He ties an assload of balloons to his house.
Mike saw this.
Did Mike see this?
Yeah.
Couldn't care less.
Loved it.
Here's the thing about Ralph, our movie reviewer. Never sees the movies.
No, anyone can go to a movie and then tell you how it is.
Correct.
Who can review it from a distance?
Right.
Where you have perspective.
So Mike's seen it.
Me. That's me.
Mike's seen it and liked it.
Not interested.
Okay.
Not interested in what he saw.
So your review is?
It looks okay to me.
All right.
Well, you give Pixar the benefit of the doubt,
always,
aren't they?
Yes.
9 for 9 with how good their movies are?
Their movies are always charming and well-written and just brilliantly performed by the voice actors that they land. They have an excellent ear for casting. Edward Asner, good old Ed Asner, stars as the lead in this film. Jordan Nagai plays a wilderness explorer named Russell, who stows away on this dude's house while it takes off into the air. So you've got this crotchety old man dealing with this young boy who stows away, and the relationship that they develop while they are floating towards the mountains of Venezuela. So you got that going for you. Here's a little scene from Up in which Russell introduces himself to Carl after he is stowed away in his flying house.
Good afternoon. My name is Russell. Are you in need of any assistance today, sir?
No, I'm doing fine.
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54.
Slow down.
Wet Lodge 12.
Kid!
Are you in need of
any
assistance
today? Thank you, but I don't need any
help.
I bet he knocks again.
Proceed.
Good afternoon.
Let's skip to the end.
See? Isn't that cute?
I want to drag that kid to hell.
Oh, come on. little Russell yeah, with his Wilderness Explorer badges and whatnot.
What a weird plot for a movie, by the way.
Another one of these.
Another septuagenarian who wants to fly to South America in his house full of helium balloons.
And are the police after him for kidnapping a little kid? I mean, is there an Amber Alert? What goes on here?
That's the sequel to Up.
Yeah.
It's called In.
No.
You don't want to see that. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
So this weekend, you got two good choices. I say either one of these would provide you some quality entertainment for your dollar. But obviously, if you have cat kids or you're young at heart, you're going to go check out Up. And if you're in the mood for a good scare or you just want to see the demon Lamia ravage Christine Brown, then you're going to go see Drag Me to Hell. I'm torn.
They're sort of the same movie.
They're kind of.
Yeah.
Take your kids to go see Drag Me to Hell. That'd be awesome. If you have little kids, take them to that instead. Tell them you're going to go see Up and then go in a theater and then, blah, Christine. And watch them just soil themselves. That'd be awesome. Think I'm ready to be a parent?
Nope.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Hey, I know we have Justin Long getting ready to come on the phone, but remind me next hour to tell you guys how somebody I know ate an entire package of Oreo cookies yesterday in one sitting.
A whole, like the one with the three?
Yes.
Rows?
All of them.
Oh,
every
my
one of them.
God.
Did you get
Which
sick?
Is,
did he get sick? Did the friend get sick?
Yeah.
He was feeling okay, actually.
He was.
I think he's built up a tolerance for that kind of eating. I think he's worked his way up to it.
Were you surprised that he didn't get sick?
I was a little bit surprised. I was expecting that he would not feel well after that, because how many Oreos is that? Is that like 60 or something? I mean,
yeah.
It seems like it's got to be three rows of at least 20 cookies, right?
Did he go tend to some cattle on his island in Seattle and then his many bulldogs before he did his radio show?
I don't know what you're even talking about.
It doesn't have anything
to do with me.
This is
a friend of mine. Well, what may
That's
have...
awesome.
Is your friend really tall?
Does he have spina bifida?
All right, let's assume, just so that we're not playing games here, I'll just answer the question as if it were me,
okay,
but I'm certainly not admitting that it was. It's still my friend, but I'll pretend it was me, okay?
All right.
What if I thought, hey, an Oreo sounds good, and then you can't eat just one, and then what's the harm of eating two? And then next thing you know, it's five, and then you go, well, I'll go ahead and just finish off this row. And then at that point, you're gone. I mean, you can't stop, right?
You know, I love sweets.
Yeah.
I could never eat an entire package of Oreos. Never.
Every one of them. All 60
no,
of them.
No, I couldn't.
Wow,
I would get
sick. That's impressive, Bean.
Yeah, but you eat frosting. How do you not eat a whole package of Oreos?
But not that volume of frosting.
Second, Mike.
It would be like eating three cans of frosting.
No, because frosting's dense.
Okay, I can eat a quarter of a can of frosting.
Wow!
You're not
how
very
many
good.
But then I don't feel
how many,
very good.
How many calories do you reckon there are, or how much fat, or whatever it is you would measure in terms of what something like that does to your body in an entire package of Oreos?
I could answer that. 10 calories total.
Total?
Would you say that's...
I was
diabetic coma is my answer.
I was venturing towards like 2,000. But
2,000 calories at once, that's not too bad. I mean,
what?
It's not too bad.
That's more than I get in a day, but if you buy not too bad.
Did you eat anything else that day?
I had a burrito later, but
was it a big sized burrito?
Did you have it right after it?
No, I waited a couple of hours. I don't know. I think here's the thing. You know what it is? You're in the supermarket. You go, wow, Oreos. I shouldn't. You know, you think this, even if you're me and you're a blob, you still think, well, I shouldn't eat that. I shouldn't buy that because if it's around the house, I'm going to eat it. And then you talk yourself into, you know what? I'll just have a couple, and then I'll have a couple more tomorrow and a couple more the next day. This bag of Oreos is going to last me a month.
Right.
A month.
I'll have Oreos to go to for a month.
Right.
It's going to be so great. The last thing you expect is driving home from the market. You're going to eat them all.
I didn't even know you made a decision like, I'm not going to buy that because then it'll be around the house and I won't eat it.
He doesn't.
In my mind, you always eat whatever you want whenever you want.
Yeah, but you do that for so long and you feel so crappy so much of the time that eventually you think, Mel, maybe I just better not this time. You know, maybe I just ought to back off just a little bit.
Bean, did you see the halftime report of one of the Lakers games? I think it was two games ago, where they were talking about Lamar Odom and all the candy he eats. Did you see that?
No, but
I
respect him already, if that's what you're telling me.
He eats candy nonstop all day. I brought in audio. I don't think we have time because Justin Long's going to be on the phone in just a second, but I'll play it for you next hour. He eats candy. That's nothing to him, what you did.
Are you serious?
Nothing. He could eat that and not even blink. Well, he also burns it off, though, right?
All day, every day.
But it's got to be so awful for your body and your insulin and stuff.
He wakes up in the middle of the
diabetic.
Night.
He's going to be diabetic.
He wakes up in the middle of the night, eats candy, goes back to sleep, just all day, every day.
Wow.
It was all really a bizarre story.
All right. I do want to hear that because apparently Lamar is my soul brother. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. All right. 743, this is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph was doing the movie beat a few minutes ago, was recommending Drag Me to Hell. That's the one that doesn't have Ed Asner flying on balloons. If you're looking for something to go see this weekend, it does have our friend Justin Long back on the Kevin and Bean Show after a bit to talk about Drag Me to Hell. Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How you been?
How you been?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back on.
Sure.
Sure. I know you're very busy. I know you've been doing a tremendous amount of promotion for this film, and that you have said that it's among your favorite things you've ever done, right?
Absolutely. And that's not – I guess if people know my body of work, that's saying a lot.
You've got some good ones. You did Zach and Miri. You did Die Hard. You did Walk Hard.
Yeah, no. I'm being like self-deprecating, but I truly, like, you do these shows and, like, you do, like, promotion and stuff, and it's, I was just saying to somebody, like, it feels like part of the job, and it feels like kind of, like, work, and with this movie, I love it so much. I'm such a, like, nerdy fan for it that I really love talking about it.
How would you compare it to your experience on Crossroads with Britney Spears? How would you say it compares? Does it stand up to that one?
It's not quite as horrific.
Okay.
All right. At any point, at any point in this movie, Drag Me to Hell, in your role, do you use your voice as Alvin the Chipmunk? Is that part of the film?
No.
No?
No, because, you know, I don't have the guy who helps me out with that.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
My testicles in a vice.
Now, Justin, I love scary movies. Love, 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 love. I'm a sucker for them. When I first saw the trailer for this one, my first thought was, really? They're going to drag that poor girl to hell because she turned him down for a loan? Really? Is that...
You know what? Sam is a twisted... You can't say the F word, but...
Yeah.
Twisted F. He is...
So that's part of the magic, is that the girl turns down the old woman for the loan, but she gets evicted.
And like a girl that like goes through a choice that we all have to make, like this like little moral crisis, which is not a big deal, and it turns out to be the
a big deal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you consider being dragged to hell a big deal, Kevin, I mean, come on.
Yeah, whatever. It happens.
you know what I love about this, and obviously you're a fan of Sam Raimi's from a different perspective than we are, just as movie viewers. But
here's
a guy who made his fortune, made his fame as a great horror movie director, and then he went mainstream, quote unquote, and became huge with the Spider-Man movies. And a lot of people probably thought, well, he doesn't have to do horror movies, and he never will. Right. But that's his first love. That's the thing he loves to do most, right?
Absolutely. And I could see it. I don't know what it's like to work with Sam outside of this movie. I've never worked with him before, but I have friends who worked on Spider-Man, and like I've heard stories about how, you know, just how nice a guy he is, how much of a gentleman he is. But I witnessed something watching him make this movie that I've never seen before. I've never seen from a director, which was this feeling like he was like a kid, like he was like a child, like playing in the sandbox, like he he really had this great, like, youthful enthusiasm for what he was doing, and I think that translates. I think that shows on the screen. I think
it seems like the business part of it always beats that out of directors or producers.
Absolutely, I could not agree more, and that's why it was really surprising to see that. You think a guy like at Sam's level, like he's directed, you know, all the Spider-Man movies, and he's like this celebrated like commercial director.
Right.
You'd think he'd be, more like tyrannical or like, you know, he'd have like a riding crop and a
sure,
a bullhorn or something. But he
standoffish maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But not right.
The most down to earth, like genuinely, and outside of not weighing him as a director, like in the business, one of the most decent, like respectful guys I've ever met.
That's cool. Wow.
Like now, like to the PAs and to the studio executives, like he treated everyone with. I can't say enough about the guy. He's like,
and you, you're famous for your onset tantrums, right? I mean, you'll throw coffee in the face of a guy who looks at you in the eyes, right?
Totally. Yeah, that's my thing.
that's what everyone knows Justin Long for. Now, let me ask you this, because it looks like from the trailer that I've seen. I've only seen the commercials. I haven't looked at the any of the extended footage online or anything like that. But it looks like there may be some CGI. There may be some big special effects in this movie as well.
Not
so much.
Not a lot. Sam was very careful. To kind of stay away from that kind of stuff. I don't know if you've seen the Evil Dead movies, but he...
Sure.
Yeah, but so it's a lot more kind of like grassroots...
Well, that's got to be so much more fun for the actor then to be able to respond to stuff that's kind of actually there in the room.
Oh, absolutely. Like for example, like Alice, there was a lot of like puppeteering. There was a lot of like tangible... I hate all that CGI stuff. Like I feel like Sam does too, because he avoided it at every cost. There were moments where, like the fly, like there's a great scene with a fly that goes into...
Crawls up her nose?
Crawls up her nose.
Oh, boy, does that look bad.
That's the crazy thing about this movie, like little things that you take for granted, he manipulates in a way that is so frightening and like, disturbing.
But wait a minute, what, do they have a guy that can train the fly and says, up straight?
There was a fly wrangler. It was a very talented fly. that was CGI.
Okay. Because I can imagine how tough it would be to you just teach your fly how to do stuff, and what do they live? Like 3 days, and you got to start all over again with a new baby fly.
Yeah. That's a lot of work.
So much work.
I have a clip from the movie. I think it pretty much summarizes the feeling that you get when you go see this movie, Drag Me to Hell. I think you get, you know, that's
actually, you were playing the sex scene that I have.
That's what it sounds like.
That's some of your best work, Justin. We were just talking about 15 minutes ago about, with a name like Justin Long, how you don't go into porn. I mean, that's a good porn name.
It is.
A porn name, would you believe this? This is true, absolutely true. My uncle's name is Dick.
What?
No. Dick Long.
I'm
not kidding. That's not a joke.
His name is Dick Long.
Dick Long. I'm not kidding.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's the best. I love that. All right.
And he's a porn actor.
He absolutely is. Okay, good.
Drag Me to Hell is the name of the movie. If you like the horror movies, this one looks like the best one of the year so far. Please go see it this weekend. Justin, great to catch up with you. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin Bean, thanks, man. Thanks for having me back on.
Thank you, man. Bye now.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Adam Carolla joins us in just a few minutes. I wonder if he'll be mad about anything this week.
I'm wondering. I can't figure it out.
Right now, 7:57, Friday morning. Ralph is back with the Showbiz Beat.
Now, this is a trend I can get behind.
All right.
Country music stars turning on each other and fighting. Yeah. I like it. Rich.
You hate the country music.
Hate country music.
Okay.
Hate it with a passion.
So
it's bad.
So them fighting is a good thing for you.
Well, here's the thing. For so many years, we've been losing great rappers. And, you know, rock stars ODing.
Right.
And rappers have been killing each other.
Right.
But the country music scene has gone relatively unscathed. They tend to just... Conway Twitty, I think, is like 400 years old. And they just
He's
live
been dead
forever.
For a number of years, Ralph.
Oh, George Strait's like 400 years old.
Right.
George, there's another famous old George.
George Jones.
George
He's like
Jones,
80. Yeah.
He's like 400 years
Jefferson.
Old. Thomas Jefferson, he's like
George
Jefferson. Yeah,
and it's weird because you'd expect they'd have a lot of guns in country music, yet they don't seem to be using it on each other.
This was going to be my point until you stepped all over it. It was going to be that they're turning on each other.
Okay,
and we know they've got the weapons.
Yes,
so we need to encourage them to start shooting it out. just like John Wayne would in the old West. Start taking each other out. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
John Rich of Big and Rich.
Is he big or rich?
He is rich.
Rich.
Yeah. John Rich of Big and Rich? Yeah, he's rich. Right. He would be rich of the Big and Rich. Because there's big and there's rich. John Rich, I'm guessing, would be rich. Mm. He's turned himself into police to face assault and harassment charges filed by Jared Ashley, who was also a country music performer. He was on Nashville Star, which
What's
is
that?
Their version of American Idol.
Oh, okay.
The two apparently had a little scuffle in April, and now the cops are involved, and John Rich has turned himself in to face assault and harassment charges. He believes he will be exonerated, but he said it's important to go through the process of our American justice system.
I hope while they have him...
Unless you're black, and then string him up!
I hope while they have him in custody, they put him away for that Beastie Boys cover that he did.
It's a big and rich boy.
He needs to go to jail for that.
You gotta fight.
That's what we're saying. You gotta fight.
That's right. And shoot each other.
You found that song.
Make some noise if you love some country music right now.
You find that song on the Irish CD, available on Amazon.com. Or Country Goes Rock. Thanks,
Don. I know Imus. Rich's latest solo hit, by the way, is called Shutting Detroit Down.
Yeah,
that's a good song. That's a good song.
They shut it down, man. They shut it down.
That's a good song.
Damn Obama. Obaminism, that's what I call it. Obaminism. They shut it down. They ruined it. Black president. What the hell?
Okay.
I'm telling you. It all starts and ends with country music, the problem with this country.
Mm.
All of it. We just took it away. We'd all be a lot better off.
Is that right? Wow.
I like the country stars because they just bitch and moan about problems by singing about them and then don't really do anything.
Or they reflect the concerns of their audience, which is, hey, I'm an auto worker and I'm out of a job, which is what that song's about.
Why don't you go eat some Oreos and leave the talk to the big people now? You go to the kids' table.
2,530 calories is what it ends up being, by the way. 2,530, I've been informed.
My good guess.
That's double the average adult should have in a day, right?
Yes. And that was not even a meal. That was just a snack.
You rule.
Oh, cannot wait until the day they're cutting away the wall to get Bean out of his bed to put him in the piano case to bury him. That'll be a great day.
Lifting off his entire roof.
Oh, when his skin is fused to the sheets because they're no longer able to move him to change the bedding. And they have to surgically remove the thread count from his ass.
Give me bulldog puppies lost in his fat.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Living in the folds. Yeah. Entire
look like
of
a bulldog.
Puppies.
The rest of us are going to be all together partying, watching it on the news.
And they just bring in some sort of crane device to lift him out of the bed and lower him.
Crane breaks.
Oh, it's awesome.
Can you read my mind? Can you tell what I'm thinking right now? I'm thinking, shut up and get a salad.
Oh, come on.
That's what everyone's thinking, man. Leonardo DiCaprio may be settling down. In Touch magazine reports that he is prepared to pop the question to smoking hot Israeli supermodel girlfriend Bar Raphael.
Yeah.
Can you blame him?
No.
If you got to pull the trigger,
that's
the trigger I'm putting my finger around. You know what I'm saying?
I think.
You know, when you pull the trigger, you put your finger around it.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's a good trigger.
Okay, yes.
An excellent trigger.
I'm with you on that.
Speaking of smoking out Israeli supermodels, congratulations to someone else.
Some other dude.
Who is dating a supermodel. I had the story right here. Who was it? I said it earlier today. Anyone remember?
It was somebody,
anyone? Chase Crawford.
Chase Crawford,
P.I. From Gossip Girl, he apparently is dating Esty Ginsburg, 19-year-old Sports Illustrated swimsuit model.
Shalom.
She's diabolical. So well done, Chase Crawford. See, it pays to be a P.I. Chicks dig that.
He's not a P.I.
The gun, the car.
He doesn't have any of that.
The office, the fedora.
He doesn't have any of that.
the overcoat. Bourbon in the drawer.
That's not what he does.
Thin mustache.
Thin mustache, yeah.
That's not him.
I was sitting there when she walked through the door of my office. She was out of place in this neighborhood as a tarantula and a piece of angel's food cake. I knew right away she needed help. She was in trouble. And I was just the kind of trouble she was looking for.
That's nothing to do with Chase Crawford.
Absolutely does.
Nothing at all.
That's the inner monologue that goes on through his head while I sit in his PI office.
He doesn't have a PI office.
Chase Crawford, PI.
He's an actor.
Her name was Esty Ginsburg. Sure, I know the name. That's the name of a 90-year-old woman playing Mahjong, but still, she was 19 and smoking hot.
I think you should give that a rest, Ralph.
The Adventures of Trace Crawford, Private Eye. Today's celebrity birthdays. Maybe Ace will do some Dingo Boy for us when he comes in.
I haven't heard that
in a while. Today's celebrity birthdays. Danny Elfman's 56 years old today. LaToya Jackson, by the way, a listener emailed me and mentioned that we have been neglecting the either Chewbacca or gong sound effect
That's
all morning.
Correct.
Every time we mention LaToya Jackson.
Is she ugly?
Yes.
Wait a minute. When your face is horribly disfigured by surgery, doesn't that by definition make you ugly?
She's a beast.
I still don't see her as a beast. Gong.
Oh, please.
Oh, sweet heaven.
Bean and I were talking about this before.
Well, maybe you and Bean can go talk about it on your podcast, and the rest of us in the room will play our gong and get on with our business.
Here's the bottom line. You wake up this morning next to LaToya Jackson, you roll over, you're rolling over and looking at a monster.
Yes.
And that's all there is.
You're the guys from The Hangover. You're that guy. It's like find a tiger in your bathroom.
Why do you have my tooth?
This is just bad.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll put her in the gong category.
Yeah, definitely.
Annette Bening's 51 years old today. Actor Rupert Everett is 50. Melissa Etheridge turns 48 years old
today. I only pay for this much carpet, but look at how much I got.
Mm-hmm. Noel Gallagher of Oasis is 42. Melanie Brown, Scary Spice of the Spice Girls, is 34. And Denver Nugget forward Carmelo Anthony is 25 years old today. What can we wish him on his birthday? What can we wish that happens to him on his birthday?
Early summer.
Stomach flu again, maybe?
Syphilis. There you go. A little syphilis. A little touch of the syph.
Can you get just a touch of that?
Chase Crawford PI had some just the other day. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. One of the highlights of our week is Friday mornings when our old friend, the Ace Man, Adam Carolla, stops by to get it on.
Hey, Adam, how are you, man? What's going on, buddy?
How you doing?
Oh, doing great, Bean. Thanks for coming out and supporting the charity last weekend.
I'm sorry I couldn't make it, but I didn't want to go, frankly, is what it was.
I did make it, and before we do this week in rage, I would like you to tell the story of the first time you were on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno and Queen Latifah.
Yes, it wasn't the first time, it was the last time I was on, which I don't know if that's a coincidence or not, but it was about 3 months ago I did The Tonight Show. Queen Latifah was the first guest. I was the second guest. Mm-hmm. And Queen Latifah, you know, when you do those shows, they do a pre-interview. Mm-hmm. And they basically ask you questions, you know, how the kid's doing, what'd you do for the holidays, blah, blah, blah.
To probe you for questions for him to ask?
Yeah, and they try, oh, and they'll go, oh, that's funny, that's funny. Okay, do that, that's good. And they'll go, and they'll say things like, did you go on any vacations? And so Queen Latifah went to the Bahamas, I guess, and she had this whole bit, and her two segments were all about her vacation. And when she went on her vacation, there's something in the island chain that she was at, and it's called Lyman. That means chilling. It's a term they use over there. I'm just Lyman. It's a fairly familiar term to some. I had not known it, but other people said, yes, they knew what it meant. It just means I got a beer, I'm in my flip-flops, and I'm hanging out. They're chilling. I'm Lyman, man. I'm Lyman.
Okay.
So
okay.
She said Lyman 3,200 times to Jay.
Right.
And she said, Jay, you got to be Lyman. You got to learn to Lyman. I'm Lyman. I'm Lyman, blah, 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 blah. So fast forward to me going on the show. Now, I'm there, and Queen Latifah scoots over one chair, which is no big feat, and or no small feat. They had to add a leaf to it, and she slides over to the one chair, and I sit next to Jay, and I'm doing my bit on Christmas gifts. It must have been around the holidays, and you guys have experienced this.
Sure.
You who have children, you get the kids a toy. They want to dig into it. You start digging into it, and then you realize it's wired 10 ways to Sunday to the box. And you rip the thing open, and then the next thing you know, you're tearing into the thing, and you're trying to undo it, but you're cutting your fingers trying to undo all these sandwich ties that have, you know, a little Miley Cyrus lashed down to the cardboard she's on.
Sure.
And so I actually bring one out as a prop. And I say, look at this thing. You can't get this thing open. Nobody can get this thing open. And then I hand it to Queen Latifah, and I say, you couldn't get this thing open with Lyman Dykes. Now, I said Lyman Dykes, which is...
Lyman?
Lyman Dykes, which is actually a tool.
That's a real tool.
Yes.
Okay.
Dykes are wire cutters.
Right.
They're diagonal wire cutters, and Lyman dykes are the ones that the linemen use, the guys who are the linemen for the county, which I'm sure Jed will be playing later on today.
Our Wichita affiliate is dying right now.
Yeah, so I hand her the thing and I say, you couldn't open this thing with lineman dykes.
Right.
But everybody, including the producers, heard me call her a lineman dyke.
Right.
Like a lineman dyke.
Did that occur to you while you were saying it?
Did not occur to me at all.
Okay.
And Queen Latifah, you know, I don't know what her sexual proclivities are, but she's a 42-year-old black woman who's never been married. She's the only black woman on the planet with no kids. It's basically, you do the math. She didn't go on vacation. If she did, she went with Stedman to the Bahamas. The point is that's the only guy she's ever dated is Stedman before Oprah got to her. So she is freaked out, and I don't know what's going on. I have no idea. And then
at this point, you still don't understand.
I'm just doing my riff.
Right.
I just said to me, lineman dykes is a tool that I use, and it's one that people know, but evidently nobody outside of the Tonight Show.
Well, that's what's funny is it's the most obscure reference ever. In any other night, people just would have looked at you like they have no idea what you're talking about. This one night, they thought it meant something else.
She said lineman 2,800 times.
Right.
Before I said lineman dykes and handed it to her.
To her.
Okay. So then after the show, the show's over, and, you know, it was a pretty good appearance, and I'm walking off the stage, and I get bum-rushed by a bunch of producers who are all 50-something-year-old women and then three gay guys. And they all run up to you, and they go, what did you call Queen Latifah? And I said, what do you mean, what I call her? I didn't call her anything. And she said, Did you call her dyke? I said, what? No, I didn't call her dyke. What are you talking? What you called her lineman dyke? A lineman dyke? And I said, lineman dyke? No. Oh no, lineman dykes. Lineman dykes. And here's where the comedy comes in. I said, oh no, lineman dykes. No, those are wire cutters. Those are dykes. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? Dykes. You use dykes. And at some point, one of the women leaned over and said, could you please quit shouting dyke? He said, okay, but nobody knows what a lineman, no one's used. And I just looked across at 15 just blank slates. Yep. Like nobody knew what I was talking about. And then they had to go investigate. And then I did that thing where I was driving home with the 3,000-yard stare. Wait a minute. Does she think I called her a lineman dyke? Does everyone think I just called her a dyke? Did Jay think I called her a dyke? Like I was going absolutely insane.
Yeah.
I went back and looked at the tape. She didn't seem to change her face too much, but you know those ladies. They got a good poker face.
How many times have you been back on the Tonight Show since?
Let's see. What day is it? Today's Friday. Zero.
Okay. Yeah. Zero. You know what this is, Adam? Zero. This is exactly the same thing that happened to that politician who used the word niggardly. Remember,
right.
He called something niggardly, which is a legitimate word that means something that has nothing to do with race, yet people didn't know the word, so assumed that's what it meant. Same thing happened with what Adam was doing. It was a word they didn't know.
Except for Queen Latifah wasn't standing right next to him when he was talking. When he was giving a speech, right? And he didn't turn to her and hand her something when he said that.
Right?
Not everybody has your knowledge of tools.
Evidently, that's correct. Right.
We need to take a break. Adam Carolla is here. This Week in Rage when we come back.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Yeah, starting with number three, working down to number one. Number three, recumbent bike guy.
Recumbent bike guy. What's that?
This is a guy who rides the bike, but the bike lying down.
You mean at the gym?
No, this guy's riding on the street. You see him going by the horse trail over there in Burbank.
Yes.
He's motivated enough to get on a bike, but not so much that he doesn't want to do it lying down. So he's like, I'm going to ride a bike, but you know what? I want to do it from the position I'm in my Barca Lounger. It's like if you took a Barca Lounger and a Huffy and you made them mate, a recumbent bike would come out. And it's always the same weird antisocial guy's like 51 and he insists on the recumbent bike. The guy's never in his 70s. He's never in his 20s. It's one guy. And if you notice, like if you drive around Griffith Park on a Saturday, you will see whole pods of guys on cycles. Like, hey, we're the bike club from Burbank. There's not a recumbent bike.
white guy? Lone wolf. Rides alone, baby. Always rides alone. It's never, hey, it's a whole group of guys on recumbent bikes. Here they come, a stampede of guys on lay-down bikes. Nope, it's the one weird 51-year-old dude. I go alone, baby, on my recumbent bike. Listen, you've made the commitment to put on the shoes and the shorts and go out there and pedal. Just make the final commitment to actually sit up. Really? And then they have to put the huge dune buggy flag on it because nobody can see the guy in the recumbent bike. Please do society a favor and just run this guy over. Not for us, for him. Put him out of his misery. He's never having a good time. He's pissed off. He's alone. He's on his recumbent bike. All right, next one.
This is somewhat related.
The wheel. I saw this person the other day. This is the person who's crossing the intersection in a wheelchair, but using their feet to propel them.
Yes.
Your
oh, yes.
feet are out yes. in front of them doing the weird scooch move. Mm-hmm. Right. Is there anything sadder than that? Person in a wheelchair, that's a 5. Person propelling themselves with their feet in a wheelchair, that's an 11 in the pathos department. And it's weird, too. It's like, wait a minute, you don't have use of your legs, or you do have use of your legs? Like,
you can use your legs that much.
Yeah, it's
which
like,
is it?
It's like having polio but putting your arm in a sling. Like, well, wait a minute, which is it? You're in a chair. You can't. Remember, you have you. Look, have somebody push you or just use your goddamn hands. Don't do that weird scooch along thing. And it's the most inefficient movement ever. It's like you move 6 inches every 20 minutes. Like, scooch, scooch, scooch. You're going nowhere. You know the only person that's worse than this guy in the wheelchair?
Who?
The extreme guy in the wheelchair. The guy who cracked his vertebra when he was, you know, doing the half pike or the half bowl or whatever in the X Games.
Right.
Now, he's in a wheelchair, but it's rock and roll. Wheelchair. He's got knobby tires on it, and anodized rims, and FMF sticker on the back of it. It's not going to slow him down. He's got use of his arms, so he can put plenty of gel in his hair. And it really pisses you off when you find out this guy's a super hot 22-year-old bikini model girlfriend. You're like, what? What? And then he's explaining what he did last weekend. Oh, man, I was on a zip line. I was going over the canopy of the rainforest. I'm like, what? You're in a wheelchair! What are you doing next week? I'm going to try Half Dome. I'm going up Half Dome. I'm going down to Yosemite doing Half Dome. Like, what's with this super rock? What do you need knobby tires? You're going off-roading on that wheelchair?
Yes.
You're in a wheelchair. Act like you're in a wheelchair. Somebody needs to send this guy to class and that chick to class who's scooch person and super extreme guy person. All right. And number one on my hit parade of things I'm angry about, music.
Music. 80s
music.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because here's the thing. You know, I'm flipping around. You know, I have the satellite TV, and I'll flip around to the 80s channel.
Right.
And they'll play the 80s music. And also, like when they do the VH1, hey, we're the 80s, and it's the 80s, whatever.
Right.
And you start listening, and you hear songs like this.
We can dance if we want to.
And you're like, yeah, this is from the 80s. It's a horrible, horrible song that I wish I could forget that was from the 80s. And then you move on to Flock of F-Ups and Duran Duran at its worst. And, oh, sorry. Thought we were going to hear some Flock of F-Ups. Yeah. I'm like, really? Okay, this is the 80s. But then as I start screaming at the TV set or at the radio every time, we had good bands in the 80s. I mean, we had the Pretenders, right?
Yeah. Right.
We had the Ramones. We had, you know, the Clash. We had Joe Jackson. We had all... Yeah, but we hear this. This is it. So it's not the 80s we hear on these 80s stations. It's the effed out worst songs when you're really high on coke of the 80s. It's if Adam Sandler's making a parody movie of the 80s, that's the 80s songs that gets played on all the 80s channels. When in fact there were really good songs and really good bands and really good music from the 80s, but we'll never ever hear that. And then I thought, what if it was the year 2035, and we just focused on this decade, 2000 to 2010, and all we played was Creed and Nickelback and Sean Kingston and Pussycat Dolls and the Jonas Brothers and Clay. You'd be pissed, right? You'd have to be explaining to your kids. You'd be like, no, we had the Foo Fighters. We had good bands. They just never play them in this. I'm just saying, it's not called the crappiest song songs from 1984 to 1987. It's called the 80s. Give me some goddamn Pretenders. Thank you.
That, I hear you.
That is the point, because you never get Dancing in the Dark. You only get Obsession by Animotion. You're absolutely right, Adam.
Yes.
You're right.
All right. This Week in Rage, Adam Carolla. Thank you. Talk to you next week.
Good time.
That Adam Carolla, by the way. Very funny guy. Yep. And we forgot to mention he was in here, but you can catch him every day on the Adam Carolla podcast through adamcarolla.com, or you can get to it through kevinbean.com as well. And also, if you never saw his movie that came out a couple years ago called The Hammer, mm-hmm. that he wrote and co-starred in, it's very funny, and it is going to be airing on HBO this week. So do yourself a TiVo search for Adam Carolla or The Hammer and check that out. And thanks again to the Ace Man for coming in.
Bean told us last hour that he ate an entire package of Oreos.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot.
It's crazy. That's crazy.
A whole package at once. I mean,
you had
to have a gallon of milk to go with it, right?
This is the honest truth, Lisa. I didn't have anything to drink. I was in my car.
Your car? That's where you ate the whole package.
I did.
How long did it take?
You had to be driving for 2 hours.
No, I think it was about an hour. From the time I picked it up at the supermarket to the time I got to my destination was about an hour, and I ate them all in that period of time with nothing to drink.
With nothing to drink. That's unbelievable.
Did you see halftime?
And they were double stuffed, too, by the way.
Yeah, well, that's the only kind to eat. Were they covered in chocolate, too, those?
No, they were just regular Oreo double stuffs, which are my favorite of all. But
they are
I really can't believe I ate the whole thing.
Speaking of being double stuffed with cream.
No,
hey, Gene Simmons.
Gene.
Did you see the Lakers-Nugget game? I think it was two games ago at halftime when they did that report on Lamar Odom.
Mm-mm.
I did not.
This story is unbelievable. Apparently, Lamar Odom is obsessed with candy and eats it all day, every day. All day. And they started the piece by following his assistant to the store.
Yeah.
And his assistant piles up candy, gummy bears and all kinds of candy, a full cart full of candy, and buys it. And then arranges it in Lamar Odom's car and at the locker room and on his bedstand at night. He eats candy literally all day, every day.
How do you function as an athlete?
I don't know. But here...
Is it... well, let me ask Mike real quick before you go to the tape. Is it a sugar thing, a rush thing when you need energy? Can you get something like that from some of those sorts of candies?
No. Don't get crazy. What it is a guy who's 6'10 and came out of the womb muscular and NBA basketball player.
Yeah.
And he can eat whatever the hell he wants. He probably washes down that candy with fried chicken and a cup of gravy, and it doesn't matter because he's Lamar Odom.
But he's not going to have any teeth in 10 years.
Yeah, some of his teammates are interviewed in this piece that they ran into halftime, and they all are saying the same thing. I don't know how he's going to have teeth.
He won't.
He brings it to practice every day. Here's the piece.
Lamar Odom is quite simply the candy man.
I'm the supply on the team. If you need that candy fix, I got it.
Now the other teammates start speaking.
Man, every day in the morning time, he got like 3 bags of candy, you know, on the bus.
He brings candy to the plane.
When we go on the shoot around, he got bags of candy.
He brings so much that he offers to everybody because I don't think he can eat it all by himself.
Odom's sweet tooth has now become a fanatical obsession.
Hershey's white chocolate cookies and cream. I go through like 4 or 5 packs of those a day.
Pecan squirrels, honey buns,
watermelon, now latest.
Sometimes after the game, too.
Always eat a Snickers. Satisfies you.
My high shoes, my nibs, my gummy savers.
I'm like a chocolate freak at night. These are really good. I will sometimes wake up like 3, 4 in the morning, and like I just have candy around my bed, maybe like some Starburst or Skittles, and I just kind of like reach over. Like eat it and like go back to sleep, no problem. I mean, it's bad.
How is it that you can be one of the top athletes in the world and still consume all that sugar?
I don't know. I mean, we all got our vices, and I guess sugar is just one of mine.
Gummies, life-saving flute explosions, wild berry gummies, tangy fruit gummies, Gucci rings.
I just do it all day. I can't help it.
Cookies, nibs. Hard day's work.
I don't understand how he still has his teeth because he eats so much candy. Who cares? Like, you know what I'm saying? You only live once. Eat as much candy as you can eat.
So he does that he does that on a daily basis. He eats 3 or 4 bags of
does
that.
Does he eat anything else?
It doesn't say.
I can't imagine.
But he has to. He also has to eat good food, too.
You would
right?
think. But my point to you, Bean, is that if you eat a full package of Oreos every day, you will end up looking like Lamar Odom.
Oh.
Which is great news.
I am on the path to becoming a professional athlete. This is fantastic.
The only thing they left out of the story is why he's hungry for candy. And I have a guess as to that.
Yeah.
Perhaps weed. but they didn't mention that.
Oh, he's got the serious munchies.
Interesting.
Seems like it. I've never seen a guy who eats more candy than him. He just puts it down full time. So that's what you can look like, Bean.
All right. Can't wait.
Do it Love again it. Today.
Hey!
Perfect.
Live it!
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ at 8:56.
Ralph Garman is here for our final look at the showbiz beat for Friday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
I don't know what to do this weekend. What should I do? What should I do this weekend? What should I do tomorrow? Oh, maybe I'll go to the red carpet world premiere of Land of the Lost.
Wow.
Maybe I'll do that.
Instead of the Rock, Paper, Scissors documentary that we were talking about earlier?
Yeah.
Which is also tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Well, I think I'll make that sacrifice.
World premiere.
How'd you like to come with
we
me?
We have a winner, believe
we
it or not.
We don't have a winner yet. I haven't even asked anything.
Oh, sorry.
I'd like to take some K-Rock listeners with me to this little event tomorrow night.
It's going to be at the Grauman's Chinese Theater.
We got a winner!
We don't have a winner. We don't have a winner.
Nelly.
He says Nelly.
It is going to be quite the event, this little red carpet world premiere.
And we have...
You get to see a Grauman's Chinese Theater, which is a great place to see.
Hey, yo, movie. Check this out. And the winner is...
But they really deck it out for the premieres, and it's always very fun.
We have Will Ferrell on the show next week.
We do.
We'll talk to him about that.
We do. You know who else stars in the movie? Danny McBride.
Awesome.
Yeah. Funny, funny mother effer. If you saw Pineapple Express or any of his other
Last
works.
Last Train to... Oh, sorry. It's a good thing I didn't get any of the words right.
Last Train to Clarksville? Sure, with the monkeys? And he was
but
a young
what are you
boy?
Of? I was giving was away the that? Answer to his question because he was waving me off, but I didn't say any of the words right. So thank goodness.
Thank God. You're dumb.
Sorry. Back to you.
Anna Friel from Pushing Daisies, who I love. I adore. She's just adorable. She's also in the movie. I'm guessing they play Marshall, Will, and Holly, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this isn't the first time that Will and Danny McBride have appeared together. They recently worked together in another project. What's the name of that project? 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call in if you're one of the correct answers. I'm sure Kevin won't be coming up with the correct answer.
I will not be there.
If you're one of the two people with the right answer, you get to go to the very special event tomorrow. These are our last tickets to give away, too. So there you go. Last train to Clarksville. Trent Reznor's a good man.
He is.
I mentioned earlier this week that there was a loyal Nine Inch Nails fan named Eric De La Cruz.
Yeah, Eric.
And he is suffering from a severe case of dilated cardiomyopathy.
Sounds bad.
It is a condition that will cause his heart to fail soon, and if he doesn't get a heart transplant, he will die. Now, here's the thing. He was turned down for a transplant last, I don't know when the month was, but earlier in the month because he's on Medicaid, which won't cover the procedure. Private insurance won't cover him because he's got a pre-existing condition. And he doesn't have insurance.
Oh, that's...
Wow.
So, he needs to pony up the bill himself. And if you know anything about hospitals, they're cheap. That's the one thing about hospitals.
Yeah.
It's going to cost him around $750,000 for this procedure to save his life. So, Eric's sister, Veronica, stepped up and contacted Trent. And he joined the cause, and he began offering prizes on the website. If you donated $1,000, you got dinner and backstage passes, you got a chance to meet the band. All kinds of packages were available if you donated a certain amount of money to raise money for this worthy cause. This is just earlier in the week they started doing this. Put it up on the website, on the Nine Inch Nails website. Well, today they've announced that they have raised $858,628.30.
That's amazing.
It is tremendous. He said the Nine Inch Nails fans have just been amazing in their generosity, and they have no more room to give out the VIP access tickets or to meet with anyone else. They just can't do it anymore. So now they're just asking people to donate what they can, and you will get a signed Tony Hawk skateboard and an autographed CD of Nine Inch Nails' rarest release. Still, you get a copy of that. So they're still collecting money for Eric and this cause.
Eric.
But they have they've overshot what they needed initially, what they thought they did. So
that's
he'll have
cool.
even extra money for his rehabilitation and that kind of stuff, which is great. Now they just have to find a heart. That's the only thing.
That would be nice.
So if you have a heart, give that instead of money, instead of getting your autograph. I wonder what Trent would give you if you actually donated your heart.
I don't think it's...
You go backstage, probably? You could probably get it backstage.
I don't think you could do
before
that.
Before you donate.
Know, you can meet the band. No, after. You need to give him the heart. Yeah, they're going to make sure you're not going to renege on the deal, you know?
I don't think it's possible.
And then
possible.
You could, you know, get good tickets.
Give your heart.
I'm just saying.
I don't think that's possible.
Do we have an answer for my trivia question?
We do. We have Chris.
Chris?
Yep.
Where did Will and Danny recently appear?
Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound and Down. Danny McBride's successful TV series over there on the HBO, which I believe Will was one of the producers of.
He was.
So, congratulations. You're going to go see Land of the Lost, the red carpet world premiere tomorrow night.
I rule.
Yes, you do. Congratulations.
I have a question. Kevin, you heard Eastbound and Down. Where did you get Last Train to Clarksville?
You tell me.
How did you make that association?
You tell me. I don't. I watched that series every episode. You tell me. I don't know. I do not know.
Sharon Stone is not very popular in Turkey right now.
Not very popular in America.
She's really just burning up countries.
So one by one, she's becoming less and less popular around the globe.
Yeah.
She got a job to host the opening of a new high-end five-star hotel in Turkey called Mardin Place.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, Mardin Palace. They paid her $1.5 million to make the appearance.
Wow. Dude. To do what?
To host the grand opening. To be the celebrity attendee. To welcome everyone. To cut the red ribbon. You know, what have you.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she gets up in front of the locals. And turns out she cannot pronounce the name of the country, Azerbaijan,
right,
which is a neighboring country to Turkey, which is a steadfast ally and friend of the Turks. She said, I've never heard of this country. I have no idea what it is. She couldn't pronounce it. Then she said, but I can pronounce Chaka Khan. Crickets in the audience.
Yeah.
And now the Turks are upset with her because they have insulted. She has insulted their staunch ally, Azerbaijan.
I just can't shake the feeling that that woman is a complete tool.
Imagine you pay her $1.5 million and she can't pull off the barest essentials of her job, which is just to make people feel welcome and hi, how are you? Do a little research. Pick up a map. You know, talk to somebody. Find out what you're doing for $1.5 mil. Put a little time in.
That's a lot of money.
Put 20 minutes in to do a little research on the region.
That's all.
Learn how to say something in her native tongue.
What's that?
Which, of course, means the toilets are wrapped for your sanitation, for your protection.
It's great.
It's good to use at a hotel.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Gerard Way. He, of course, lead singer for My Chemical Romance.
Magical My Chemical Romance.
He and his wife, Lindsay, welcomed their first child into the world, a baby girl named Bandit.
Bandit?
Bandit.
Awesome.
Bandit Lee Way.
Terrible name.
Bandit.
Bandit. You're saying Bandit.
Bandit.
Is a girl's name.
Which was the name of the dog on Johnny Quest, by the way. That's the only thing I think of when I think of Bandit. He had a little dog with black around his eyes, and they called him Bandit because it looked like he was wearing a mask.
Okay.
Lisa had a raccoon named Bandit once.
That's correct. Yes, I did. Yeah.
That's it. That's our whole relation to that name.
He used to wash his hands before he ate.
Little pouches of chewing tobacco. Those are Bandits.
Bandits. There you go. A lot of Bandits don't know any people named Bandit.
Now you do.
Bandit Way.
Orale, way.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, no, I forgot to do that thing again.
What?
I forgot to bring in my list of Jimmy Fallon celebrity guests. Sometimes, Kevin, not all of us can be perfect, okay?
Like me?
We're not like you. I'm just human. I'm not a robot. I'm not made of steel. I'm just flesh and blood.
Yeah.
I err. To err is human.
Would you say you had too many papers?
I would say I had too many papers. I hope they're listening in the office.
They're not. If somebody from the other room could bring in that information.
You think they're probably going to bring me another list of celebrity birthdays?
Probably.
You think that might
while
happen?
You're doing them?
Yeah.
Sure.
I need tonight's lineup for the late Night with Jimmy Fallon show. That's what I need.
Hang on. I got to clarify. He needs the information on Jimmy Fallon's guest tonight.
Now they're just, to spite me, they're not coming in.
They just said, we got three things going on. We don't understand what's happening. I was like, all right.
Today's celebrity birthday is composer Danny Elfman celebrates his 56th birthday today. He, of course, from Oingo Boingo as well. LaToya Jackson turns 53. not moving forward until I hear either Chewbacca or a dog.
Under protest. But.
Oh, please.
Annette Bening is 51 years old today. Rupert Everett turns 50. Melissa Etheridge celebrates her 48th birthday.
I didn't come over here to eat tacos.
Yeah!
Noel Gallagher of Oasis turns 42. Melanie Brown, better known as Scary Spice of the Spice Girls. She's scarier than ever, by the way. You see her abs. You can do laundry on them.
Right?
It's nuts.
I know, right?
She's 34. And Denver Nugget forward Carmelo Anthony.
Queer.
We'll all be watching this evening. How dare you, sir? He'll be performing tonight.
Queer.
Opposite our beloved Lakers.
Murder.
He is 25 years old today. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It is Friday afternoon. Business as usual in Washington, though. All everybody is talking about is President Obama's nomination for the next Supreme Court Justice of the United States. See, this is the big deal, Kevin, when you get to be president, is the thing that lasts long beyond your term in the White House is the people you appoint to the Supreme Court. I mean, some people consider that's one of the most important things a president ever does.
Ah, so this is unique because they don't come up that often?
Well, they don't come up that often. You pretty much have to wait for somebody to retire like Justice Souter is doing, or somebody to die, which is generally what happens. But the first Latina and only the third female ever appointed to the Supreme Court, if she gets through the nomination process, is named Sonia Sotomayor. Here's a little bit about her.
Sonia Sotomayor will be President Obama's nominee to the Supreme Court. Judge Sotomayor now sits on the appellate court in New York. She was a judge in the U.S. District Court in the Southern District of New York. That is Manhattan. She was nominated by George H.W. Bush back in 1991 to a seat vacated by John Walker. She was confirmed by the Senate back in 1992 and was elevated to the appellate court by President Clinton in 1997. As we have been reporting, she would be the first Hispanic on the Supreme Court and the third female Supreme Court justice.
All right. So that's the uniqueness of this particular situation.
And the judge is on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on Cinco de la Tarde on K-Rock.
Yeah, I'm a judge!
Hold on a sec. We were actually holding for Judge Sotomayor, please.
That's me, puto!
I'm a judge! I have seen you speak on the television, and you don't sound anything like this.
Ah, shut up, weirdo.
Judge, what are you doing shooting off guns? It seems like this would be a time when you would have...
I do what I want.
But isn't there incredible scrutiny?
I do what I want. I've already turned my robe into a mini skirt. I got my bangs all crunchy. And believe me, they're rolling out the red carpet for me. Hey, Kevin, speaking of carpet, I got some carpet for you.
It just seems like you're Puerto Rican heritage and you've got a lot of Hispanic fans around the world. It seems like now would be the time to kind of bust up some of those stereotypes that it seems like you're trying to propagate in this interview. That's not how all Latinas are.
No, you're right. And when I become a Supreme Court judge, I'm going to be worried about what the public thinks as a whole. You know what I'm saying? I want to make everybody in America happy.
Okay.
So I'm not against taking a poll. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Bean, speaking of taking a poll, I'll take yours right here.
What is going on here?
Right here. You know what the biggest problem is, though, with the Supreme Court the way it is?
Right.
Is not getting along with legislature.
Right.
You know, everybody says, oh, the left, they can't agree with the right. And the right, they can't agree with the left.
Right.
And next thing you know, you got activist judges trying to pass laws through the back door.
Right.
Hey, Kevin, speaking of the back door, shove it right there.
Wow.
You know, another thing is, I really want to make sure.
I'm pretty sure we had the wrong number.
I'm pretty sure I want to make abortion legal everywhere for every age. You know what I'm saying, Lisa May? We've all been there, huh, honey? We've all been there, right?
What are you talking about?
We've all been there, you know. You just need to go get that taken care of. Because last thing you want is a f***ing baby, you know, right? It's like you have a little bit too much Bacardi at the party. You're grooving. You find a fine cholo. Next thing you know, get it taken care of. Our surgery, no more.
Like, Mike, why won't you shut up about this?
Well, it just, it bothers me.
Right.
That's what it does.
Okay, if we talk about it once and for all, can we put it behind us?
I think so.
All right, go ahead.
If I get some type of answer.
Ask your question.
Well, okay. It seems like every time I talk to an old school surfer or a punk rocker from back in the day, anybody over 40, they start off every story with, I was eating a bunch of Quaaludes and. Every good story starts like that, okay?
Quaaludes, okay.
And you watch Cheech and Chong, they're all doing Quaaludes, Apocalypse Now, Quaaludes. Everybody over 40 talks about how awesome Quaaludes was. I'm 30, and I love drugs, and I've done a lot of them. Never even seen Quaaludes. If these were so awesome, where the hell have they gone? Now, I understand they were made illegal, and probably, you know, their availability went down a little bit.
Well,
but
so
a lot of drugs have been made illegal. A lot of drugs have been improved upon. Quaaludes seems to be the only drug in history that just fell off the face of the earth. I've never even seen them. I have no idea where to get them.
You don't do drugs now.
No,
so
this
what
is true.
Difference does it make?
It irks me, Lisa May, in that, like I said, I can't even find them if I wanted to. Right. Quaaludes have fallen off the face of the earth.
So where did they go is your question.
Where did Quaaludes go, and why is this? Why is there a government conspiracy to bury Quaaludes?
They go where birds go at night.
Yeah, same thing.
But Mike, a lot of drugs fall out of use and popularity because other drugs are invented to replace them that do the same thing and are either cheaper or safer or better.
But they don't disappear entirely, do
they? Morphine came along to replace opium. It was a better and a more powerful form of opium. It was an opiate. Still could go get opium right now. Heroin came along to replace morphine. Plenty of heroin. You know what I'm saying? Plenty of morphine still there. Dexedrine, early White Crosses, all the early like crude forms of meth, I can go find it if I want. Sure, people still can go do crystal meth or really good crank right now. But if I needed it, if I really wanted it, you could go get these drugs. I don't understand why, out of all the hundreds of drugs that have come along, that like you said, have been improved upon, other drugs that have been made illegal. Quaaludes, I don't even know. I've never even seen a lewd. I don't even know what it is. Yet, it's the best thing in the world, according to every guy I know, every old schooler out in Hermosa Beach that I sit next to at a bar.
You're a guy hanging on to VHS is what's going on here. But we're gonna humor you just so you will shut the F up about the Quaaludes, because we have an expert, the resident doctor of the Kevin and Bean Show, Dr. Mo, chief of surgery of the Little Company of Mary in San Pedro, joins us on the phone on Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde right now. Hey, Dr. Mo.
Hey, guys.
Have you heard the argument here? What's going on?
I've heard the argument. Okay. And I got the heads up, did a little bit of research.
Okay.
And this may make Mike happy, but there actually may be a little bit of a government conspiracy.
Oh!
What?
What?
Oh.
What's going on?
Okay, back up. Quaaludes were a legal drug that was based off some sort of malarial drug that came from India, but they found out it was an anxiolytic, meaning it calmed you down a little bit,
right,
and it was used as a sleeping pill.
Right.
Basically, it was a sleeping pill.
Okay.
Then people started mixing with alcohol to get sort of a barbiturate-like effect kind of a thing.
Right.
And that's when it started taking off in the 70s.
And that's when everybody talks about it being so great.
That's when everybody talks about it being like they talk about a lot of things in the 70s being so great.
Sure.
Now, what did it do? Did it just make you feel happy and high? I mean, is that what the goal was?
Back and...
Yeah, it was more of like a euphoria, like just like this very high kind of flowery buzz, especially if you mix it with alcohol.
Okay.
Now,
all right.
The problem was that I think in the late 70s, it was like the number two prescribed drug in the United States, and then they came up with something to... remember how they had to get rid of some legal drugs because they were trying to make it into meth or something like that, the ephedrine and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Well, something similar happened. Well, then it moved into the illegal market, and it got so bad that apparently the United States did actually something constructive in a drug war type of thing.
I find that hard to believe, but go ahead.
I do too. And what happened was they went to the place that makes the powder that I guess they would use to make the pills. And that was in Germany and China, and there's a couple of countries. And they went to those countries and shut off the production of that methaqualone.
How do they do that?
Well,
and why can't they do that with cocaine and everything else then?
That's a great question. But the problem was, remember, this didn't start off as an illegal drug. This started off as an anti-malarial, so it actually had a purpose.
Right.
It was treating malaria. Now that there's other anti-malarials and other sleeping pills, they did the smart thing by just not making it worth the money to make it.
So the only place where you could get the necessary ingredient to make the Quaalude was these countries that you referenced, and they shut down the production there. So it's just the raw materials aren't available for somebody if they wanted to make it themselves now.
I guess the pipeline was these countries were feeding it to Colombia, which I guess back in the 70s was a Quaalude processing place.
Sure.
And
by the way, in the 70s, Colombia was an everything processing place.
Hey, remember, I'm from Colombia. So
careful. Oh, I forgot about that.
That's right.
Dr. Bo, do you have any Quaaludes left over somewhere in a medicine chest that Mike could try?
Yeah, unfortunately in the 70s I was in elementary school, so yeah, not so much.
So they're literally not available.
No. And so that's basically what's happened is it's a government, not a government conspiracy. They got involved and actually shut down the market.
Isn't that wild? That just doesn't happen.
That's what I'm talking about.
But how do they go to China, who doesn't exactly work with us, especially in the 70s, and say stop it?
And they didn't exactly say that. It was apparently much more subtle than that. Like, it was more of an economic, hey, this, you know, this will look bad on the world stage, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I don't know the full details. All I know is that somehow in all these different countries, and it's not just China. I mean, it was Germany and some other ones, that they just shut down the production.
But usually you shut down production somewhere and it just pops up someplace else if there's money to be made. But it makes it sound like you're saying there was no more money to be made in Quaaludes.
Because the demand went down because there was other things. Now, all these people who clearly loved Ludes weren't buying enough, I guess.
But yeah, that's the problem right there.
Last question, Dr. Mo, and as usual, you're very helpful. What's the closest equivalent, as you understand it, to the effect you'd get from a lewd back in the day?
That's a great question, because I actually tried to find that. And, you know, again, elementary school, not a lot of experience with them. But it's sort of like a barbiturate, is the way it was described.
Is it like Valium?
No.
Not like that.
No, because Valium is milder and more pleasant.
Xanax?
The effects of... It's funny that you mentioned Xanax. There's a lot of good evidence that Xanax is no better than a placebo.
Really?
Well, yeah. We'd like you to send one of everything you've got to Mike, and we'll just try them all. Okay, Dr. Mo?
Well, as a surgeon, I don't got a lot, but I'll help you out.
And send the beer over as well.
Dr. Mo is the chief of surgery at the Little Company of Mary in San Pedro. As always, thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Have a great weekend, Doc.
Hey, you too. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, bye.
Another quick reminder that Monday morning in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll announce our latest breakfast with. You know, we've done dozens of them over the years. These are big bands, small venues. You get to come, hear the band perform just for you, and interview them yourselves. So Monday morning at around 7:15, we'll have that announcement for you here on the world-famous K-Rock.
Great.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Great. Breakfast with a big band would be great. Artie Shaw or...
No.
Not that kind of
Tommy
big band.
Tommy Dorsey. That'd be great.
I meant a popular rock group.
Glenn Miller.
By big band. Ralph, it's not what we're talking about. We're talking about popular K-Rock artists.
Sorry, I'm in so many lewds, I don't even know what I'm talking about.
You've got them.
You guys can't find them? I got to go to my guy.
Didn't realize you had a guy.
Omar. here's the thing.
Yes?
I cannot escape American Idol since I quit it.
What do you mean you can't?
It's like being an alcoholic. And then everywhere you go, people are like, hey, why don't you do a shot with me? Why don't you, hey, let's open this bottle of nice wine.
That's why I hate it so much, because I don't like the show, but it's in your face every second of every
day. But it's over and it's still in our face.
I hear you.
Speaking of being in your face, this Adam Lambert kid, everyone's still speculating whether he's gay or not and whether that had an effect on the voting on American Idol.
You know, this angers me because a lot of people said, oh, America won't vote for a black president. Not America, no. And he got elected. No one said anything. Now they say, oh, would this affect it if he's gay?
I don't think it was because he was gay.
I don't either.
I think what happened was the third guy, Danny Gokey, all his voters were fans of that style of performing.
Absolutely.
And went for Chris Allen, and that's why he got all the big votes.
I also think that a lot of people are investing in this because they need to know. They don't like the ambiguity of is he gay or not. If somebody's gay, they insist that he be out.
Why
That's
is
part
that
of what's
the case? Why are
here?
People so fascinated
know.
About who people bone?
I don't know. I don't agree. I don't think that is the case.
But you know,
separate from the voting, you don't think people are dying to know whether this kid is gay or not?
He's
First
gay.
Of all, everyone knows he's gay.
I know, you know.
I'm saying,
and
though.
You know that I know that you know.
Right, but I'm saying there's been...
And during
but
the
I think
contest,
Bean is right. Some people want him to sign some sort of affidavit that they can put on TMZ, and then they can stop thinking about it. Yeah. I don't know who's fascinated by his sexuality.
I don't either.
On The View the other day.
Who cares?
They were they had Cara DioGuardi.
Mm-hmm.
She's the fourth judge, stopping by. And they couldn't help but discuss this.
Okay.
And I just thought it was interesting. I'll play this little clip for you. Where everyone's mind jumps the minute anyone uses the words American Idol and gay in the same sentence.
Okay.
Oh, that's me.
Yep.
I'll do this now.
Because I just heard today that Ryan Seacrest has said that Adam is going to come out and announce his sexuality, whether that's important or not. I don't know.
Ryan? Really?
I'm sorry.
No, Ryan's not. Not Ryan.
No, Ryan's not. No. No. No.
I was like, oh, Ryan Seacrest is going to finally come out. That's great. That's good. We have to clarify.
Yeah.
He's gayer than Adam. I mean, let's face it.
That's for sure.
Allegedly.
And a lot less talented.
Not allegedly.
At least Adam can sing.
That's right. At least he can do something I'd like to watch. Hillary Duffy's growing up. I'll tell you, our little Hill Duff, she really has grown up.
I think we call her Hill Duff.
She is dating Mike Comrie, you know.
Oh, yeah.
NHL
she loves
star,
the hockey players,
Mike
right?
Comrie. And apparently the other day, New York Post says, they were seen out at a place where they serve adult beverages, and there was Hillary Duff tossing a bunch of booze back with her boyfriend. They were getting loaded together, having a good old time.
That's what I'm talking about.
Paper says she has developed a taste for cucumber martinis. And cucumber. You know what I mean?
Yeah!
You know what I mean? She likes the cucumber. That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
I don't understand.
You know what I'm saying?
I'll tell you later.
She likes celery?
No.
As well, or?
What?
And our best wishes go out to our buddy Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode. you know, he's been sick for some time. They've had to cancel some dates. And turns out what doctors thought was initially just a bad case of gastroenteritis turns out to be a little bit more than that. They found a malignant tumor on his bladder.
Wrong!
Now, malignant's the bad kind, right?
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Yes.
You want the benign.
That seems
right, bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, he is resting comfortably as we speak. He's going to go back on the road on June 8th.
Did they surgically remove it? Is that what they do with that? Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Don't you need chemo and stuff? Since it,
I don't know.
Since it's malignant?
I am not a doctor.
I cannot tell you.
I cannot tell you the answer.
All right.
But I'm guessing if he's touring again, probably not. Okay. June 8th, he is scheduled to go back on the road with DM for resuming their European leg of their tour in Leipzig, Germany.
Leipzig. It's a great word, Leipzig.
So we wish him the best and hope he recovers fully and soon. Let's talk about celebrity birthdays, shall we? Danny Elfman, legendary film and TV composer, has given us many great themes, including the original 1989 Batman movie theme with Michael Keaton. That's a great theme. He is 56 years old today. LaToya Jackson celebrates her 53rd birthday. Annette Bening. Sorry, Annette.
Definitely.
Annette Bening is 51 years old today. Rupert Everett is 50. Melissa Etheridge celebrates her 48th birthday.
I love fish tacos, but are they better than eating beef tacos?
You'd have to ask Melissa. Noel Gallagher of Oasis is 42. Melanie Brown, better known as Scary Spice of the Spice Girls, celebrates her 34th birthday. And Denver Nugget forward Carmelo Anthony, just minutes away from the jump.
Yep.
For the game six between six? Six.
Six,
right?
Yep.
Six between Lakers and the Nuggets.
Yep.
He's 25 years old today.
Homo.
Oh, come on with
what?
That.
I hope for bad things for him tonight.
Hitting Carmelo. Oh, come on.
Tonight.
Can't you be gracious?
Nope.
Can't you be a little gracious?
Nope, not
tonight. Just hope it's a good game. That's all I ask for. Just a good, good game.
I'd like it to be a blowout. I'd be fine with that.
And I'd like the officials just to mind their own business.
That would be
good. Mind their own beeswax. That's what I'd like to see happen. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.